Welcome to The Comedy Point with Soul Joel and co-hosts Joey Gay and Matt Scarpelli on WIFI 1460 AM in Burlington. Also on the TalkSuperStation.com, BeMoreRadio.com, KCOR in Kansas City, WENU 1410 AM in Glens Falls. Tune in for comedians telling their best stories from the road, shows, and beyond. So for talk radio with a comedic twist, please enjoy The Comedy Point.
Hello and welcome to The Comedy Point with Soul Joel. We have co-host Matt Scarpelli. Unfortunately, Joey Gay could not be in studio today. He will be calling in. We have one of the best shows lined up for today. We have from the Honey Badger, the voice behind the Honey Badger. You guys all love the video. We have him returning as one of our guests today. Randall. Randall's Animals. Follow him on Twitter. He's unbelievably funny. He's got a lot going on, including a book tour. He'll be talking about a lot of exciting stuff he has going on. And one of our favorites here calling in, this is the L.A. show. The L.A. show. We have three guests calling in from L.A. Of course, Christian Spicer, at Spicer, calls in each and every week, month, to kick off the first Tuesday of the month. Follow him on Twitter, at Spicer. And then one of my good friends, Julian McCullough, who will be headlining at the Stress Factory this Thursday through Saturday in New Brunswick, New Jersey. You can get tickets at the Stress Factory website. Again, it's April 5th through the 7th, this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Kind of want to talk to, and I know Matt will agree with me, comedy is an unbelievable business. Entertainment, we are always working. There is always something to do. I mean, we could literally be working 24 hours a day. I mean, we sat here in studio prepping for the show, and we both looked up at the clock. We're like, it's 5 minutes until showtime.
Yeah, we got here extremely early today, and it seemed like it was still the same 10-minute rush at the end, regardless how early we got here. It was really, once you get you turn on the computer, you get into it, you're lost in it.
There's so much stuff to do.
We're always booking shows and performing ourselves and other ventures we're in. So it is a 24-hour day job.
And it's one of those things where we can be behind a computer, so it doesn't really matter
Where we are,
what time, because you're dealing with L.A. time, West Coast, East Coast time, sending emails. You don't have to worry about being on the phones and waking people up and stuff like that.
Although when you're dealing with comedians, you can't call any comedian before noon. Before noon. Noon is the cutoff. Like, that's like everyone else's 9 a.m.
It's funny. I almost get offended by that whenever someone says, I didn't want to call you before noon. And I'm like, I'm on the producing end of this, brother. So you can call me whatever time. I mean, I know you're kind of different. Well, you're still on West Coast time, let's be honest.
I'll wake up at noon and still work. But if I'm doing computer work, I could be up from noon till, even if it's writing or something, I could be up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So no matter what's going on, I'm going to be waking up early and late and going to bed early or late, depending on. I usually see the sunrise every. I'm just going to sleep. I can see the sunrise every day.
Yeah, well, that's good, man. You can't complain. I want to tell you how much fun we had, man. Saturday, PJ Ryan's, you, me, and Joey on the first time together after being co-hosts.
Oh yeah, it was a great show. We had a lot of fun actually. There was a great crowd down there. It was weird because I thought it was going to be disaster when we first got there. Like 10 minutes before showtime, there was only three people in the audience. Then it ended up they had to bring in extra tables to give enough seating for the crowd. I mean, the place was packed out. Everyone had a good time. We had fun. Julian Cantrell did a great job. Joey did a great job. You did a great job. I had fun hosting it. It was really, really a lot of fun.
I like how you named everyone individually. Not everyone did a good job. You specifically named everyone.
Well, that's the kind of guy I am.
Yeah. Give credit where credit's due.
Exactly.
But you know what? It's people always say.
Oh, did I mention I did a great job too?
You did.
Yeah, okay, good.
You mentioned it now twice. So. But people always tell me like, oh, you're always working. You're always working. When do you have fun? Our job is one of those things where it's lucky enough that we can have fun at our job. And I think we did that on Saturday where there was always – I think we told people this. There's always two shows going on. There's one for the audience and there's one for us.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
So my sister – we were lucky enough where we had dinner right before the show started. And
I wasn't invited though. I didn't get that.
I was just bringing that up and I'm like, you know what? I didn't tell Matt about that because I didn't know when you were coming from Delaware. So.
Well, I actually talk about, I mean, this Phoenixville was over the mountains and through the woods. Like, I literally came from Delaware and I was going through.
Oscar just looked up and was like, listen, Little Red Riding Hood.
It really was. It was so out of the way of anywhere that my GPS didn't even know where the hell it was. I mean, seriously. I went to college with a guy who's from there. I asked him if he's had where it is, where Phoenixville is. He told me he hasn't been able to find it since he graduated from college. He hasn't been home. So.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah. But speaking of which, at the show, Joey goes right before he goes on stage, you're introducing him. He goes over my sister's shoulder. Now, obviously, it's the second time he met her because he met her at dinner. He goes, do you feel as awkward as I do right now? my sister looked at me like, he's crazy, huh? And I'm like, I have many stories to confirm that.
Well, you know, Joey did. I thought he still had, he was going to do another 3 minutes from the bit he was setting up. So I actually went into the men's room to make the pee, and he cut it. He didn't do the whole bit, so he cut it a little quicker. So I actually had to cut midstream and wash my hands and run out on stage to close out the show. And I was doing like the pee-pee dance and in a lot of pain as I was closing out the show.
Right. And well, and not only that, but you came off stage and you're like, can you tell I haven't done that Comcast bit in a while? And then we started laughing. And people, yeah, we started laughing so hard, people turned around and were like, what the?
During my third set, right before I brought Joey up, I did a bit that I haven't done in 8 or 9 months, and I truly forgot it halfway through it. I must admit, if you miss a step with your wording sometimes, you know, it's like a rhythm. If you miss one word in it, in a bit, you could blow the whole bit. It just won't make sense. The flow to it won't go.
It's like trying.
It's like a song.
It's like all of a sudden, why didn't that joke work? Oh, because I missed a sentence in the setup. Mm-hmm.
Even a word. Just a word could screw up your whole rhythm. It's like a song.
Oscar, have you been to many comedy shows?
No. Besides college.
Next time we're you know, perform in the area, we're going to give you some free tickets, man. Come check us out.
I'll take that.
All right.
Anything free.
Anything free is for me.
As long as it ain't a disease, I'm good. Anything free but a disease, I'm good.
Exactly. So we had a great show for you guys lined up. We got Drew Curtis calling in. He's admittedly still hungover from last night's Kentucky Wildcat. Are they the Wildcats?
Yeah.
The Wildcats National Championship. And he tweeted this morning, I have to work today. He's like, sorry about all the bourbon I drank last night. All of it. So I can only imagine.
I didn't pay any attention to any of March Madness. I mean, with my gambling reputation, I just I wasn't following it enough because I was busy the week before, and I just didn't watch anything. I didn't care who was playing any game because I wasn't betting on it because I knew I would be betting.
The game was last night?
Yeah. I knew I'd be betting ignorant, so I just decided not to watch any of it. There's no money involved with me. I don't care anymore.
So I guess next week when I look at the DVR, I notice I don't have a game recorded. I don't know why, because I set it for next week.
Is that what you did?
Yeah.
You didn't watch the game?
I didn't even know the game was on last night.
Are you telling us?
I was that bored of March Madness.
Mm-hmm. But are you realizing right now when we're talking? Right now you realize
even through Artie's show and all, I didn't pay attention at all. I was just like.
Okay.
Somebody played last night. I thought he was talking about.
We are breaking news right now that you DVR'd the wrong week.
The wrong week.
All right.
Yes, for a game I wasn't probably going to watch.
Wait,
anyway.
What the hell? If you're hitting on DVR, what did you record?
I don't know what I.
So what was on? It was on CBS.
We won't talk about.
So you like
I was
recorded
doing.
Survivor or something?
We won't talk.
Were you high when you hit the DVR?
I plead the fifth.
Speaking of DVR, I had to stop DVR in The Celebrity Apprentice because I DVR'd it the first week in high def, and then I would watch. The Walking Dead before it was before it finished up the season,
yeah.
And I swear to God, watching The Celebrity Apprentice, that women's team, they wear more makeup than the zombies do in The Walking Dead. I'm dead serious about that. And so I DVR'd it the first week in high def. Then the second week I DVR'd on the regular station, so it wasn't high def, and that still didn't work. It was still like bad. So the following week I actually brought out a VCR and taped it. And then that was still bad enough. So this past week I watched it on a black and white television on VHS that was about 25 years old, just so I didn't have to see the, you know, all that caked up crap on the women's faces. Those haggard bitches.
You're listening to The Comedy Point with Matt Scarpelli. Soul Joel, Joey Gay cannot be here, so we're going to get more of Matt Scarpelli this week, whether you like it or not, and more of Oscar, of course. Now, Sunday – was April Fool's.
That
and
was
I will.
I missed everything this weekend.
I thought it was still
no pun intended,
by it, buddy. So.
Was has the last week just been nothing but a purple haze for you?
A blur, yes, very much so. I went out of town.
Someone's glaucoma was really acting up this week.
My cataracts.
I went out of town.
Now normally I'm on high alert because I'm a normally gullible person,
mm-hmm.
and I will tell you that people normally get me on April Fool's, so now I have my radar set to high. It actually started a couple years ago when I was working with an Indian guy, a guy from India, mm-hmm. doing pharmaceutical sales. He called me up and was like, listen, Joel, I got to fly to India right away. He's on my sales team. And he goes, I have to take care of – I had some relatives pass away. I got to take care of some inheritance. Actually sounded like a Nigerian email hacker.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I got to go take care of my inheritance, and
yeah.
I got to fly to India.
I have $600, please.
No, he didn't ask for any money. He just said basically you're going to have to do double the work because I'm gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm right now going to the airport. I'm gone. And then all of a sudden he goes, I was like, all right, I'll talk to you later. And I just went about my day like starting to sweat because mm-hmm. I'm a little obese. Anyway, so then all of a sudden my sales partner called me and goes, hey, I heard Asif, that's his name, got you on an April Fool's prank. I'm like, what? And he goes, he's not really moving to India. Dude, I felt so small. I felt so
yeah, getting
small.
Taken by an Indian dude, I mean, seriously, is really bad because they're not really good with the practical jokes and stuff like that and the trickery.
Yeah.
I got him. Good.
Yeah, yeah. And, now, he was talking about the cell phone, but I know his head was bobbing like this. Yes, yes, yes.
I got a text message.
I got him indeed.
From somebody the other day on April Fool's. And I didn't know it was April 1st. And it said, I know you've been talking smack about me, blah, blah, blah. Don't reply to me. I don't want to be friends with you, whatever. This whole long thing. Do you have it? Did you get the same text?
No, I'm checking.
And I got this. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, well, I'm sure I was talking about him. But how would he have found out?
Now, I went ahead and gave the best April Fool's joke of 2012 to Ken Burmeister, who is Mike Boschetti's co-host on Droppin' Science on BashBox mm-hmm. TV. I woke up Sunday morning. Now, Matt and I had just done the show Saturday night. So I stayed out, did a little dance in Oscar. I'm Soul Joel. Right. And then was hanging out with my sister, catching up and everything. And I woke up.
Did you hook up?
I did not hook up, but thank you for asking.
Okay.
So I'm hanging out, having breakfast with my niece, and I've opened up my computer. And I read this post from Ken Burmeister. This will be my last Facebook post ever. I've decided to become a missionary and devote my life to spreading the good word. I have sold off most of my things and will be embarking on a new journey starting this Wednesday. Thank you to all for your friendship and support through all the years. If I was working on a project with you, sorry for the abrupt change of plans, but this is something I've been thinking about for a while. I've been called to this, and I hope you all understand. Good luck to all, Ken. Now, I read it, and I was like, oh, my God, it sounds so believable because this guy's a good dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, I realized I wasn't the only one. Mike Boschetti commented on it and said right away. It was like literally 30 seconds later, Mike's commenting on it. Ken, please call me a little later, Mike. So I was like, oh, my God. And then all of a sudden, I realized I'm like, no, this is an April Fool's prank. But you got to admit that's good.
Yeah, I stayed in my pajamas all day on Sunday. It was great.
I'm glad you had that comment to say. I just read that whole thing that took me 2 minutes, and I put a lot of energy in it. And Scarpelli's going to go right to the next topic and tell us what he did on April Fool's Day. Back to you, Scarpelli. You're listening to The Comedy Point with Soul Joel.
I was just thinking, I didn't wake up until, Joey gave me a Vicodin that was like a horse pill, and I didn't wake up until like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And
we're being brought to you by Disney. We want to thank our ABC sponsor.
And I went in my sister came over. We did like an Easter dinner because no one's going to be around New York next week. So Palm Sunday dinner, what have you. And I was in my pajamas all the time. My niece looked at me and she goes, Uncle Matt, you need to – she's three. She goes, Uncle Matt, you need to take a shower and clean up. You're still wearing your pajamas.
Wow.
Your niece that's three?
Yeah, scolded me.
By the way, I love that video that you posted to your niece. I'm not going to comment on what you say. I'm going to bring up my own stuff now. So we're just going to keep this going for 3 hours, and we'll see where we come. Maybe we can meet in the middle at some point.
Okay, that sounds like it'll be fun.
But you posted this video. Now, I can only assume that it is your niece, which I haven't seen in a while. But you're like, this is what happens when you don't let your child watch cartoons.
Yeah, you could. It's actually on my YouTube page, Matt Scarpelli 14. I'll put a link of it up on my Facebook and my Twitter right now for you, if anyone wants to take a look. It's a cute little video. And yeah, this is what she does for she walks around saying all day, all week, Occupy Wall Street. She does it all the time. In fact, my sister had her at Walmart Christmas shopping, and she said, all day, all week, Occupy Walmart.
You're listening to The Comedy Point with Soul Joel. However you might be listening and wherever you might be, whether you're on WIFI 1460 AM Florence and Philadelphia, WENU 1410 in Lake George, Be More Radio in Baltimore, KCOR in Kansas City, Brooklyn Radio, and of course, TalkSuperStation.com. Thanks for tuning in each and every week, and we're going to go right into our first segment. I've been personally looking forward to this all day because I know he has been admittedly hungover, celebrating.
No, I didn't drink.
All right, thank you, buddy. Hailing from Kentucky, from Fark.com, please follow him on Twitter, at Drew Curtis, and welcome to the show, Drew Curtis himself. How are you, sir?
I'm still hungover. I think I'm sweating pure alcohol right now, but it's good. At least we got to that point.
Beautiful. That's the way to do it. Sweat it out, baby. Sweat it out. Or just start drinking again.
Yeah, I'll probably do that here around 9 o'clock. I will get there.
Good job.
No, I mean, we're going to talk about the hashtag Lexington Police Scanner. But before we do, I loved your tweet to start off the day. You're like, what, I have to be productive today? And then you're like, sorry about all the bourbon I drank last night. All of it.
All of it. I mean, yeah, I don't know why I decided to switch to that when the first four beers didn't work, but it was eventually a stupid idea.
And what's the pulse down there? I mean, is it kind of like somber, or are people still partying?
Oh, they're still partying. I think everybody took the day off. Like this morning, for example, they announced at around 8:30 in the morning that they were going to have a welcome back celebration for the team at Rupp Arena at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And that place seats about 28,000 people, I think, and it sold out in 10 minutes.
Wow.
It's crazy, man. Now, is John Calipari forever going to be worshipped in Kentucky?
Yeah, pretty much, unless he takes off to the Knicks later this year, in which case they're going to throw stuff at him. But otherwise, until that happens, he's in control.
We don't want him. We don't want him.
is that seriously?
We want Phil Jackson.
Is that seriously already a rumor?
Well, it is every year because, I mean, I don't know whether or not he is actually talking to people or not, but he never denies it. And so, you know, that the problem is that people get all up in arms. I have a feeling that he probably just doesn't deny it because he thinks it's a good idea. But, I mean, you know, if you're not going, you should just say, I'm not going, and end all the speculation.
Now, Drew, you sent us the 33 funniest things off the Lexington Police scanner. I want to go with your tweet from earlier and just say all of them are hilarious, but we'll just start talking about a few from Cope. We have a partially nude male with a propane tank.
I'm sure it seemed like a good idea at the time. They needed the propane to set fire to couches, which probably doesn't clear anything up, but that's what he was doing.
Yeah. And once again, we have Drew Curtis on the line from Fark.com. Check him out at Fark.com and follow him on Twitter, at Drew Curtis. The next one, words to live by. Let them light off fireworks as long as they're not lighting at someone else.
Yeah, because the problem there was is that not only did they have people lighting off fireworks, like, you know, hundreds of people, but they actually ended up pulling somebody over who was driving around town shooting bottle rockets out of the back of their truck. Because, you know, hey, why not?
I mean, this actually wants me, this makes me want to visit Lexington just because I think this might be a normal Saturday night. Like, I have a feeling some of these might be on New Year's as well.
Yeah, actually, part of the problem was is this past year, they were trying to figure out ways to recover tax revenue, and so they legalized all fireworks, and by all, I mean all of them. So you can't imagine what happened. Then they forgot to pass noise ordinances, and so last 4th of July, I think I was up until dawn.
Nice. Oh,
that is great, man. And this one, I want to explain it first, or actually ask you a question. The next one is from Greg Dawkins. They're trying to break a tree. Now, who is they?
Actually, it's probably everybody. That was a direct quote they pulled off of the scanner. No, for some reason, and this happened in 96 and 98 too, there's a certain percentage of the population who, after they've imbibed enough alcohol or other substances, decides to react to winning a national championship by climbing up a tall thing. So, for example, we had guys in trees. We had them on streetlights. They were trying to pull stoplights down. So the funny thing is that this probably gives the impression that everything was out of control last night, but it actually wasn't. I mean, all this stuff is going on, but for the most part, people are just standing around looking at each other laughing.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like one of those things where guns are legal. There's actually less violence because there's the threat that people might use guns. So let me not act out of order.
Exactly. Yes. Although there was one poor bastard who they announced earlier. He got shot last night, and he had his foot amputated. But I always like the stories where they have to get police comment because they can only see what they can prove so far. And so they basically dropped two things. He said, yeah, he's given us no information on the guy who actually shot him. And the other one was, we don't normally release the names of shooting victims, except this guy's got priors in Indiana. And it's like, well, okay, then there you go. What do you think happened?
And once again, we have on the line Drew Curtis of FARC.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Drew Curtis. Now, again, this next one could have been any random Monday night or any day. Planned sick days. Shotgun fired in the air several times.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that was part of the problem. What was funny was is the guy that got shot, like that happened, like the battalion chief for the fire department was like in the parking lot for a completely different reason, and then this shooting thing happened like randomly. So they got arrested 10 or 15 seconds. In fact, a friend of mine pulled out one too, related to that incident, which was cancel signal 7, which he says means dead body, which glad they canceled that one. Kind of a relief.
And we'll do one more, and then we'll go into the other news. From Ray Schuler, couch is no longer on fire, but it melted the road.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where that is, but most of that stuff happened around State Street, which is pretty much a student dorm, so I have a feeling that was probably what it was related. My favorite one is it was a two-parter. The first one was, we have two nude males on Kentucky Avenue, and then 5 minutes later was, well, either they found pants or they went inside because we can't find them.
That is great, man. So
yeah, it was a fun time here last night. In fact, at one point, a friend of mine said that I don't know whether or not they just got tired of arresting people or they filled up the jail or what, but they just started buying taxi rides for guys that they found around 3:30 in the morning.
That's great.
So there, people were raising money in more ways than one in Lexington last night.
Yeah, pretty much. It was a good time, man. Every single bar was packed. I mean, it was impossible. Like, people were camping out at restaurants and stuff. It was a good time. It was a big party.
Now, I don't want to ask you where you hung out to, you know, keep your anonymity, but were you out in public or did you watch it at home?
Oh, yeah, no, I was out, actually. I was hanging out at, I usually go to the Chase Tap Room, which if you're ever in Lexington, if you just walk in that bar, I'm probably there.
Oh, okay.
that's how often I'm there.
Was there a lot of naked women running around last night?
I didn't see any, but I'm sure there were. I stayed away from Ground Zero where the students were, because having done that a couple of years ago, you know, like I said, they're setting fire to so many things that, and I'm not actually making this up, it's in one of the tweets, the fire department was advising roving trucks to water down any furniture they saw out on the street, all of it.
It looks like on the news they've been showing that stuff all day today, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, most of that stuff was pretty much just down on State Street. But yeah, they blocked off several streets. Everybody's driving around. In fact, I was made a joke that I was too drunk to drive, but I wasn't too drunk to hold the horde down while my wife drove me home, so that worked out good.
We'll just give everybody a minute to take that in.
Were you screaming and cursing at people out the window? Or?
Absolutely.
Nice.
That's what you do. I'm not sure why you do it, but it's a lot of fun.
Nice. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Red means stop. Green means go. Yellow means...
Yeah, so basically what happened is I don't know why Florida decided to represent because they didn't win anything last night, but we all the good stuff I could pull was basically out of Florida today. There was a guy basically was road rage incident where somebody got cussed out, basically punched a few times, and then I guess that wasn't working too well, so the guy who attacked him in the road rage thing actually ran back to the car to get a baseball bat and started hammering away on the guy and his car. And it was all, they asked him why, the guy who attacked him, and it said because the guy slowed down for a yellow light.
Now, I don't know who this guy is, but it sounds like my co-host, Matt Scarpelli. So
I see that totally being legitimate, too.
Yeah.
That sounds very reasonable to me, that if a guy stops at a yellow light, that I would get out of the car with a baseball bat.
Drew,
no, I don't disagree with that at all.
Drew, I'm not a rat, but if they're still looking for the guy...
Yeah, I think they got him. I'm just glad that I've been teasing my kids for forever that yellow means go faster, so I think it's going to save their lives.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, once again, we have Drew Curtis on the line, who always brings us the funniest headlines of the day, and Lexington has actually been a great resource today. But three men in New Mexico arrested for transporting your mom.
Yeah, we pulled that one out again. For whatever reason... whatever reason, the Mexico police pulled three guys over. I don't think they were surprised when they found a 220-pound cow in the back. They probably saw it, and that's why they pulled them over. And they were actually accused of cattle rustling, which means they weren't just taking that cow for a ride. They stole it.
That's it.
That's like, that sounds like it's a story that's coming from Mars to me. I wouldn't get that at all. Someone stealing
a cow. I wonder if you have a cow in there, if it counts towards your carpool quota. I've looked that up.
Speaking of looking things up, anyone got any suggestions as to how we can get people to wear seatbelts?
So yeah, it turns out the cops in Florida, I don't know why this is the first thing that occurred to them. Maybe it wasn't, but they ended up doing it. Apparently they have a large problem down in Florida with people not wearing seatbelts. This honestly doesn't surprise me one bit. But the solution was kind of interesting. They've hired a guy to dress up in a bunny costume and wave a sign at cars.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the police department.
Like the Liberty Tax people have the guy with dressed up as a Statue of Liberty with the sign. They have a bunny doing it.
Yeah, yeah, they're calling it Operation Hip Hop.
Oh, my God. It's getting even better. Now, I wonder what other animals they thought of. Like, should we use a crocodile or alligator or a bear? What made them actually decide on a bunny rabbit to do it? That would interest me.
Probably because Easter's coming up, but I think it was just interesting the method they took, because I think the last time I was down in Florida, I think something like half the state is employed like this.
Definitely is in Palm Beach County. Definitely.
Yeah, it's like every block, they're like fighting for space on the side of the road, just waving their signs around.
Yeah, even hookers have signs that say, you know, we'll give head for food. That's just ridiculous. I mean, not for nothing. I wasn't a big fan of wearing a seatbelt myself, but the beeping noise in my car when the seatbelt isn't attached, you know, when I don't have it locked in, is so annoying that's mind numbing to me. So it makes me aggravated. So I actually start wearing my seatbelt all the time. I don't find it comfortable. Yeah. And in my car, my seatbelt chokes me. It's a real, I almost get an accident from wearing my seatbelt because I can't look to the left if I'm trying to make a turn because it like yanks me. It frustrates me very much. But the constant ding, 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 ding drives me nuts even more.
Yeah, I think we got to get to this bunny thing is definitely the way to go, at least down in Florida. One little postscript on this, the article also mentioned that for whatever reason, a passerby thought the bunny was a homeless man and tried to give him $20.
That makes sense. That makes sense in Florida. Florida. Without
no, whatever else.
Don't have money for food, but have money for a giant bunny outfit.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah, exactly. Here's $20, man. Get yourself a burger.
No argument here. Last but not least, the report does not indicate if Baker got to finish eating the food before she was taken to jail.
Yeah, that was a direct quote from the article. What happened was is that police were down in Manatee, Florida, which your guess is as good as mine where that is, but it's 84 degrees there right now. They were doing a prostitution sting on, they say, 14th Street West over near the McDonald's. And basically, they say it went down like this. The undercover detective invited Baker to his car. The talk turned to sex. And then she stated that her fee would be 2 double cheeseburgers from the dollar menu at McDonald's.
Oh, wow. That's great. Where is this again? What corner is this on? Because I can afford that.
It's, just about everybody's employed by the bunny suit sign waving industry down there. But, she also said that he said the detective said he bought the burger for $2.75. Baker implied that he could also tip her $40 if he wanted to. But like I said, the reports did not indicate if she got to eat the food before she was taken to jail.
that's a wonderful story. That's great.
God bless Florida.
Florida once again. I mean, Drew, is there anything?
No.
Is there anything that kind of makes your eyebrows raise at this point, or you're just like, you know what? I kind of believe everything that comes across my desk now.
Well, from Florida, I mean, this has been going on for so long that I mean, I didn't think it was possible at the time. Like, I thought Kentucky would probably do a better job. I mean, look at what we were able to do last night. We had that motivation behind us, but. Nah, everyday Florida, man. I have no idea what's going on down there. They don't either, actually, when you ask them. They have no clue. So
I live down in Florida. It's a crazy place to live. And I lived in South Florida everywhere from West Palm down to Miami pretty much. And then I went to school in Orlando. And I'd never made it more than 18 months in Florida without going completely nuts and having to leave. Never more. 18 was the longest I've ever made straight.
That's longer than me, man. I can go a week.
Yeah, you can't go a week. No, I love going down there. I try to go down on the road for at least a month every year, but 18 months is definitely cut off for me.
Yeah, no doubt.
Drew, once again, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. You know, we'll talk to you next week when you're a bit more chipper.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, brother.
Have a shot for me,
see
buddy.
Good. Yeah, well, see ya.
All right, Drew Curtis of Fark.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Drew Curtis. I actually want to be in Kentucky right now. What about you?
Kentucky?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is the Derby coming up? That's probably the only reason I go.
First weekend in May. Actually, yeah. I think that the Kentucky Derby, ironically, might be on Cinco de Mayo this year.
Really?
I don't know why that's ironic, but
I just want to go to experience it just once.
Yeah. You like girls in sundresses?
Fun. Yes. And those big hats? Yes.
Yeah. I do
you
declare.
Like big hats.
Yeah. What are you going to say, Scott?
Is that what we're calling them nowadays?
I'm waiting hats? Waiting on that one. I set myself up.
I actually started editing it in my head, and I still can't get away with making it clean enough for the radio.
Okay.
I did a show in Kentucky one time, and I was on the road with Gemini, and they had – this show was on a mountain on the side of the hill, and a mountain on the side of the hill, and there was nothing for 30 miles either which way. And I went there, and it was literally the most females I've ever seen at a comedy show ever. It was like 90% females at the show. The place was standing room only. It was great. And it was one of the easiest places to get laid in ever after the show. I mean, they were just throwing themselves at us.
Wow.
It was great. Yeah.
It was you and Gemini?
Yeah. And I went back to the room, and I got a fellatio from some girl. And she was like, "Hey, do you want to do some drugs?" And I was like, "Okay." She was like, "I'll be right back."
That's all it took.
Yeah, I was like, "Okay." She was like, "I'll be right back." I ended up passed out naked, with my feet on the floor and stretched out on the back of the bed and just like leaning, and I never moved. And then Gemini told me the next day there was some woman banging on my door at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had no idea.
For all the listeners that might just be tuning in, might just become a fan of ours, Scarpelli, last year during the Staten Island Comedy Festival, I don't know if you remember this, but you were literally talking to someone, and she told me after the show that she will no longer doubt another Scarpelli story because she was able to witness this firsthand. You're sitting at the bar talking to her. Mid-conversation, Joey Gay, who had just headlined the show, came up to you and was like, "Hey, two ladies have offered to come over to their house and smoke a little." And then you went, "All right." And you got up and left and just walked out of the place. And literally, that's it. Like, the girl that you were talking to, it was just mid-conversation. Sounds good. I'm out.
I didn't even say bye, probably.
Yeah, and I was like, "Where'd Scarpelli go?" They're like, "Well," and then they told me the story.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't remember this at all, but that sounds about right. I remember a friend of mine, was down at the beach many years ago, and he said, we went out with a girl who's a friend of his who I didn't know, and my friend, he used to get drunk and run out of the bars, like he'd run out the back door and just go home without telling anyone, but he said, "What did you say to my friend last night?" I said, "I don't know, what did I say?" He went, "She said, you told her, I don't know if I want to kiss you or punch you in the face."
You said that?
Direct quote. Yeah, and I said, "Well, I don't remember saying that. But that sounds like me."
Sounds like choose your own adventure.
I was like, I could see myself saying that. I was like, yeah, I probably did.
Where was this again?
This was at the beach about eight years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that definitely something that would come out of my mouth. So I'll go with it. I'll claim it.
Yeah.
What?
I remember you telling me some crazy story from like years ago. Years ago.
I don't know. No, that was a joke.
That was a joke. Yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe next week on the Comedy Point, we'll delve into that. You're listening to the
Comedy
Point.
Wow, Joel made me feel awkward for the first time ever.
No. Let's call that the ace in the hole. If ever Scarpelli's holding something over me, I'll be like, "Well, let's just discuss this story. And we'll call it even."
Yeah, that's not good.
Follow us on Twitter at The Comedy Point. Log on to our website, thecomedypoint.com. Please download all of our shows for free. We have a great event coming up. It's the Staten Island Comedy Festival, 5th annual. Matt Scarpelli and Scott Chamberlain are my co-producers. Getting a lot of help from John Marino of the Staten Island Business People. It's going to be 7 nights, 7 different venues for 7 different charities, April 15th through the 21st. Every night, a different headliner. It's going to be a great show. Go to Staten Island Comedy Festival.com or follow us on Twitter at SI Comedy Fest. And just for our listeners, you will get $5 off any show by using promo code SI Comedy Fest, F-E-S-T. So again, you get $5 off at the Staten Island Comedy Festival.com.
That's pretty
Are we
cool.
calling Bochetti now? We're not calling now. We got a caller that wanted to wish him a happy birthday. Should I tell him to just wait till we get him on? Or you want to
talk to him now? We got a caller that wants
that
to
wants
wish
to
him.
Wish. Mike, a happy birthday.
Well, let's talk to this caller first.
Let's see who the caller is.
Yeah, let's see who the caller is.
All right.
You're on with the Comedy Point.
Hey, guys. It's Neil Berliner. How you doing?
Hey, Neil.
How are you, buddy?
Good. Wanted to wish Mikey Boy a happy birthday. Is he there yet?
He is not here yet. We were actually going to get him on the line right now.
Oh, it's by phone. Okay.
Yeah. You want to hold on a sec? You want to get him on the line?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
sure.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back with Neil. And of course,
Mike Bochetti,
who's the birthday boy. And I like Mike has, if you're not friends with him on Facebook right now, you can go on and add him, Mike Bochetti. It's B-O-C-C-H-E-T-T.
E-T-T-I.
What did I just say?
E-T-T.
In my head, I was spelling it right. And Mike Bochetti.
Mike Bochetti.
He actually has disabled his wall, which has been like that for a while. But this morning when I went to go wish him a happy birthday, it just says, tune in tonight to the Comedy Point with Matt and Joel. It's almost weird that I didn't even know Joey wasn't coming in studio, but somehow he did. So Mike Bochetti is also a psychic.
Joey runs everything he does by Mike Bochetti before he does it. That's the way it rolls.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we ever need to know where Joey is or what's going on with Joey, we have to call Mike Bochetti if Joey's not answering his phone.
And if you guys haven't checked out, Mike Bochetti did the World Champ News with Judah Friedlander. The video is hilarious. You got
to
check it out. And
I've
also
been meaning to take a look at it myself. I've heard nothing but good things from all sorts of comedians about it, so I'm really looking forward to checking it out.
And his Dropping Science with Ken Burmeister.
On Bashbox.com. Bashboxtv.com?
Bashbox.tv.
Bashbox. No, I think it's Bashboxtv.com. I think they switched it from .tv to .com. Because I went on there the other day to watch some of Chips on.
Well, he can tell us himself. We want to, without further ado, welcome Space Cookie, Mike Bochetti, and wish him from a Comedy Point and all of our listeners a happy birthday.
What the hell is that?
Apparently, we let the black man in charge of the music.
No, there's no black man would have picked this song. That's impossible.
I'm not really black. That's just the outer cover.
You forced Mike to be silent.
Oh, that's just awful. Let's end that now. Let's end that right away. That's awful.
Thank you,
Oscar. Yo, guy, happy birthday. Yes.
Hey guys, what do you call it?
Over too
First
fast.
Of all, Oscar wouldn't pick that because black people are cool and hip. That sounds like a bad white guy.
Exactly.
Oh man.
I think, like I said, Oscar, you are cool and hip because when you think about it, who's coolest? You know, someone who looks like a jazz musician that looks like Louis Armstrong or some white guy in a sweater vest.
Now, Mike, we want to wish you a very happy birthday, buddy.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
Thank you, all you guys.
And we have a surprise guest on the line that also wants you a happy birthday. Please welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike. It's Neil. Happy
hey,
birthday.
Hey, Neil. How you doing, buddy? Thank you. Wow, that's so cool.
I figured I'd call in.
I feel like we're doing a Jetson phone call right now.
Well, guys, Mike gave me my first acting job on his show, so I want to publicly thank him for that.
Oh, thanks. He helped play off fake Jewish Asian. It was great.
Yeah, I played Larry Lifshitz, a fake Jew. I can make believe he's Jewish because every agent in Hollywood is Jewish.
No, no, I'm not saying, you know, I want to be feasible in this. I want to work. Yeah, you know. I love everybody in this. I really do. People, you know, I don't want to, you know, have Spielberg like Thanos, like Joe McCarthy to the people in the 50s. You know.
All right, Neil. Well, we thank you for calling in, buddy.
Thank
Take
you,
care, guys.
So
have a good
best. I love you, Neil.
Thanks, Neil.
Take care. You too. Bye.
Well, we're all full of surprises here, Mike, and we appreciate your plug on your birthday. You're even plugging the show, telling everybody the way to celebrate your birthday is by listening in tonight.
No, I love you guys, of course, because that's what friendship is about. People are so selfish in life. There's no need to be.
I heard you had a killer set over at the Looney Bin on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was fun. That was my first time on stage in a couple of months. You know, that was my first time on a couple of months, man. It was fun. You know, I've been, I can't wait to do the show for the festival. That's going to be fun. Gemini, I never met Sue, but I know Gemini from like the beginning, since the beginning of the time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know what? We met a lot of our fans for the show here at the Comedy Point Saturday in Phoenixville. So Matt's going to do that show again in June. So I'll make sure that you're on the show as well, and we'll go down.
Oh,
and have
thanks.
Some fun.
Yeah, it'd be cool. It'd be a nice little fun road trip for us.
Oh, good. Hold on, one second. I'm like thinking about another little while. You call it. I wish I could say. Now I'm talking about Mark. This is the only show in America.
Like, what's going on over there?
No, they're cooking my birthday dinner, and the Italians are. I'll be part of the soup around the event. But I'm going to be called.
Who's over there?
I'm a mom and family. They're waiting. I told them, wait a bit. I'm on here. You know, they're nice now until I hang up the phone.
Nice. Nice
little. And I make him turn into Luca Brasi.
Nice little Italian meal cooked by your mom.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be fun. I can't wait. And what was I going to say, guys? No, what are you talking about? It's just my train of thought. I feel like they're too much action here right now.
We were talking about doing a road trip to Phoenixville to meet some of our fans.
It'll be fun. We'll have a road trip. You know, I love road trips. They're fun. We could, like, don't worry. I'll load up the car with Slim Jims and Gatorade.
I'll take you somewhere to get fried chicken. I know all the greatest fried chicken spots when we're on the road.
I love this.
I'm actually thinking about starting a website just about it.
I love fried, that kind of stuff. Oscar, are you coming with us?
Oscar ran out of the studio. He got mad. You said you kept on doing all that Jewish talk with Neil and scared him.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Instead of saying thank you, he said sorry.
I'm sorry, but anyway.
No, Mike, we actually gave the best April Fool's joke to your co-host on Bashbox TV, Dropping Science, to Ken Burmeister. And the reason why I knew that he fooled me was because he also fooled you, and I read your comment, and you're like, give me a call, Mike. So, like, that to me was the best April Fool's joke this year.
Thank you. He's such a creative guy and a really great guy and a funny guy. He likes breaking chops for people because I've been trying to line up candidates for our date thing.
Well, say that again, Mike. Say the last part again.
I've been trying to line up candidates for the date.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. We're going to actually set that up for, I think, either next week or like the week of the festival and try to get that started. So that
we should do it the week of the festival. That might be a good thing to do it live. The night Mike's performing, have some candidates come out so you can meet them. What do you think about that, Mike?
Oh, God, I love it, guys. Every minute of it. It's pretty cool. I'll make sure I shine my shoes really well.
Now, Mike, we're going to be hanging out two nights in a row because we want you not only to come Wednesday night when you're performing at the Bistro, but we're going to be doing a live radio show broadcast Tuesday night from Daddy-O's. And, of course, you know, Matt, Joey will be there, but Vic DiPietro is also headlining that night. So a bunch of your longtime friends will be there. So we want you to come there as well.
Oh, thanks, Joe. I appreciate that. That'll be where's that on Staten Island?
It's
Staten Island Comedy Festival, seven nights on Staten Island.
Oh, no, I'm saying where is the Tuesday? I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's at the...
not the Bistro. You're on the Bistro Wednesday night.
Tuesday night is at Daddy-O's on Arthur Kill Road. I forget what restaurant it used to be.
I think it was a German restaurant, maybe.
That actually was Kilmeyer's. It's still in business. Daddy-O's is it's a barbecue place. It's down in Charleston, though, the same area.
I have no idea. I've never been there.
I love barbecue, guys. Sounds good.
Now, another thing I wanted to ask you about is the video that you did for Judah Friedlander, the World Champ News. Very funny, Mike.
Thank you, Joe. That's actually going to be a continuing project. I'm working on that this week. Again, I'm actually going to be going on Audie's show next week. Talk to him. So I'm going to plug you guys. You know, I'll be on there next week sometime.
Oh, that'd be great, man. Oh, that'd be great. But now, when Judah or whoever had the paper, like the ticker tape, going across the screen, did you have your lines memorized? Because the lines that were going across the screen weren't the lines that you were reading.
You know what? It was pretty much improv. You know what I mean? So we just improvised it, and then I know, I look at the ticker tape like, oh, God, did I forget to say this?
No, but I think you did a good job.
Oh, thanks. I had a good time with her. I mean, I love working with you guys. Everybody's all good friends with me. It's awesome.
No, absolutely, man. And so what's going on with Dropping Science this week?
We have a new episode up on Bashbox.com. Also, we did a song. It's a parody of Obama by Richie Valens, only it's full oxygen. I mean, no hydrogen. I'm sorry, oxygen. Listen to me. So instead of Obama.
Oh, thank goodness it's your birthday, buddy.
Oh, yeah. My birthday's every day. So you're a pisser. I can't wait to meet you and hang with you, too, because, you know, you're fun, man. You know, all you guys are great. I can't wait to go on a road with you guys. You're going to be fun. We'll, like, tear the town up.
Oh, of course. I will expect nothing less than to...
I know. Why couldn't it be the good old days, guys? Like why couldn't it be, like, the late 70s, early 80s when we could trash hotel rooms like the whole...
Yeah, I actually did, but I was only 4 or 5 years old, if you could believe that. I'd go into drunken rage and destroy every hotel room I went through when I was 4, 5, 6 years old. I got banned from the La Quinta Inns and all the Ramadas in the south part of this country.
Matt, that's the Italian part of this. We love it because for some reason we have a bloodlust for things. I don't know. I think it goes back to the Roman Empire for some reason. No, it does, like, normally when somebody has an argument, right, but they let it go, but the Italians are going to humiliate, drag you through the mud, tear your ass off and make you head a soccer ball.
Well, my rage started in the South because I didn't know what a hush puppy was, and it really drove me nuts. I thought people were trying to feed me shoes when I was like 4, 5, 6 years old. So that's what made me destroy. My family's not allowed red lobsters anymore either. Mike, you want to hear this one? When we were, this is dead serious, when I was about 8, 9 years old, we were at Chuck E. Cheese in Virginia, and my cousin was running up and putting the ball in the 50s, and Chucky went over and like grabbed him and started shaking his finger at him. So I pulled Chucky's tail, and then when he turned around and grabbed me, my cousin jumped off the ski ball on him, on his neck. Then my other cousin came, who was a little bit bigger than us, pushed Chucky down, and my sister, and the four of us stomped Chuck E. Cheese.
This is
dead serious. They kicked our whole family out of Chuck E. Cheese, and we asked never to come back.
Oh wow!
No, don't mess with the Italians and Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, we stomped Chuck E. Cheese like it was the scene in Bronx Tale when he said you can't leave, and that's what Chuck E. Cheese.
My cousin wants to cheat. Damn it, let him cheat. Give me all your tokens.
It sounded like it was going to be the scene from Goodfellas when he shot Spider. It was coming close to that.
Yeah, it was fun. So yeah, we weren't allowed Chuck E. Cheese anymore.
How the Italians do down in the South, though? That must be kind of weird because
we're not liked.
No, we're not liked.
We're not liked at all.
On the East Coast, once we go past Pennsylvania, we're having problems with people.
Yeah, well, going on stage in the South, especially when I first started, being Italian from New York, that was two strikes against you right away. You had to overcome that. It was tough. It's tough. It still is tough to get over it. But now that we're more experienced at it, it's easier for me. But yeah, they don't like Italians, especially New York Italians.
I know. It's like, it's funny. Like the Witness Protection Program, they put guys who look like Joe Pesci and like, Butte, Iowa, and it's weird because it's true. Butte, Montana. I'm sorry, they put him in a place like that. Why don't they just if they're gonna put him in Butte, Montana, why don't they just hide him and put him in the Olive Garden over there while they're at it?
Yeah. So you're saying sticking out like a sore thumb?
Yeah, it's like that movie, My Blue Heaven, with Steve Martin. I love that movie.
Oh, it's great. It's great. What is that? That was San Diego, though, right? San Diego they put him in?
Yeah, I think I love that movie so much. It was great. Rick Moranis is underrated. Love him.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything in a while. Where the hell has he been? Did he die? Is he alive? I haven't seen him in anything in years.
He's still here. I think he's probably...
Those Honey, I Shrunk the Kid movies really ruined his career, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, I know. It's like him and Eugene Levy. After they got fired from Greg the Bunny, they had it.
Yeah, I can't remember the last thing Rick Moranis did.
I couldn't believe Eugene Levy did Greg the Bunny. I hope to God his agents had his rolling on the sidewalk somewhere for casting him in that.
Well, he seems to do anything anything that comes across the table. There's not much that he says no to.
I know, but sometimes you got to think of that because, like, look at Greg the Bunny. I mean, I thought it was funny, but it's like, but the Count copyright, it was like a copyright infringement of, like, Count Chocula or the Count from Sesame Street, but just like him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah. I've never seen Greg the Bunny, so I wouldn't know. But I guess if you're saying it was a bad career choice, it was a bad career choice.
Well, Dad's some good. He was good. You know what I mean? I just hate him when I see really good people like him. You put in things like that are not right for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. But he's so versatile, he can do anything, too, because he's good.
That's like casting me as King Lear.
Who is King Lear? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
That's like casting me as King Lear.
Casting you as King Lear.
Not a stretch.
You could do it.
I know, I love Shakespeare, actually, because, you know, I just have to give you a first.
I love Shakespeare the Clown, not Shakespeare.
Oh, I'm a huge Bobcat Goldway fan.
Well, Mike, we want to wish you a happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to see you guys. I'm definitely coming to you guys for Tuesday the 16th at Daddy-O's, you said?
Daddy-O's, yep.
And then the next night is the night for us. It's going to be great. I can't wait to do the show. And guys, I think I'm going to get some hot dates thanks to you guys.
Yes, will.
Absolutely, brother.
You're gonna get
you guys got great taste in women. All you guys do.
You're gonna get your schmecky wet, buddy.
Oh, good, 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 good. I'll practice in the meantime.
You'll practice in the meantime. That's great, Mike.
We love you, Mike.
Happy birthday,
so
Space
much.
Cookie.
Thank you guys so much. Take care.
Bye.
All right, that was Mike Boschetti, Space Cookie. Tune in every week, each and every week, to Bashbox TV, Drop in Science with Ken Burmeister, who won our April Fool's Joke of the Year. And wish him happy birthday, man. Go on Facebook.
Yeah, we've got a couple people tweeted at him on the Comedy Point on Twitter and tweeted him a happy birthday. So, yeah, that's going to be fun doing the show live. Everyone's going to come through. We'll probably have Vic come through live, and then Vic DiBattista and me, Joey, going to be on that show. And who else?
We have a couple of surprise guests that we can't announce right now. And then Mike Boschetti, of course. A lot of people
but
that
we
are,
always get a lot of Staten Island comics that roll through the night of that show and listen to we'll come by and do a guest spot on the show.
It's a road show, so we want people to come by. It's 5 to 8 p.m., of course, with the Comedy Point, and it's going to be Tuesday the 17th at Daddy-O's, and it's going to be co-headlined by Joey Gay and Vic DiBattista, hosted by you. A special guest that we cannot announce will be there that night. And,
so you all can come out and actually watch the radio show being done live and then go in and enjoy the comedy festival, which is going to be an awesome show. I'm very excited to host the show with Joey Gay and Vic DiBattista on it at the same time. That's going to be wild. It's going to be a real fun time. So all you Staten Island people and people in the area, just come out and check out the radio show being taped live or going on air live.
And without further ado, please welcome our unsigned artist. She hails from the Philippines, resides in the Chicago area. Please welcome the unsigned artist of the week, Anna Fairman, everyone. Fairman.
Hi there.
Anna, how are you?
Hi, Soljo. I'm doing great. How are you?
Great, 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 great. I congratulations on releasing your album last week. This is perfect timing.
Thank you.
Someday afternoon. It released a week ago today. How's the first week been going?
It's been great. We've been getting just wonderful feedback and just a lot of activity on Facebook and Twitter, so I couldn't be happier.
What's your Twitter name for everybody?
It's at Anna Fairman, AnnaFermin.
Okay, there you go. So everyone can check her out. And where could they listen to your music?
Well, you can listen to my music on my website at AnnaFermin.com, and both of my EPs are available on iTunes, Amazon.com, and CD Baby.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
Now, have you been seeing action one way or the other with all three? I mean, it's great to be listed on all of them, but are people like a lot getting on CD Baby or iTunes, or is it kind of just a mixture of all three?
To kind of be a mixture of all three, although iTunes tends to be the more popular of the bunch, although I think CD Baby is a close second to that. But iTunes seems to be kind of the easiest way to access music quickly.
Yeah, no, it is. It definitely. And I like the way that not only is Someday Afternoon available, but people, if they like a particular song, just like the old days where you could buy a single, they can just buy it individually as well.
Yeah, that is nice. That makes it convenient. It keeps you from having to commit, you know,
right.
Too much anyway.
And we got the preview of you on our homepage at thecomedypoint.com. People can check out all the links, follow you on Twitter, your YouTube, you're on Live Nation and everything. But I love your picture, the one of the album cover with your hands on. It's almost like I don't know what kind of picture you call that. It's like a, I don't know. I love it.
Well, thank you. My best friend Jason Shuckart shot that picture of me in my living room, if you can believe that.
Oh, I can believe it. No, but so what's coming up next? What kind of shows do you have coming up?
Well, we've got a big CD release show this Friday in the Chicago area at a great place called Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. It's just a little suburb about 10 minutes outside of the city. And so we've got that going on. And then we've got a big show at the Old Town School of Folk Music in June.
Oh, nice, 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 nice. Anna, how old are you?
Seriously?
That's Matt Scarpelli,
not Soul Joel.
You sound a lot mature than you look in your picture. You look younger in your picture than you sound.
Oh, well, you're a sweetheart. you know, quite honestly, I'm 41.
Wow. I was going to say like 23, 24 years old.
Are you single?
What? No, I'm not. But, you know, I'm willing to cheat if it's worth it.
you're listening to The Comedy Point with Soul Joel. And no. It's that Filipino genetics.
It is.
Hey, you racist.
It's the genes.
No, it's great. Now, do you have?
Hot.
Yeah.
Hot.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
And that is Oscar. I'm going to give credit where credit's due for
every
comment.
Oh, hey, Oscar.
Hey, what's going on?
Now, we're going to play one song. We have a couple more questions for you, obviously. But what song are we going to play off your album?
You are going to play Someday Afternoon. The title track.
The title track. Great. Now, why is this song so special to you?
You know, it's interesting. I have kind of a story behind it. I actually wrote the original song, which was called "What Are You Waiting For?" which is a line that's still used in the song. I wrote it maybe 5 years ago, and when I went into the studio about a year ago to record it, I recorded the song as is, and I'm working with this wonderful collaborator. His name is Aaron Barber, and after we recorded the song and did all the basic tracking, he said, you know, there's something missing with this song. And basically he said, I think you need to rewrite the lyrics. And I said, what? Are you kidding me?
Now, yeah, were you taken back by that, or are you open to, you know, some constructive criticism?
Well, of course, at first, you know, it was something like, you've got to be kidding me because we just recorded in the studio. It sounds like a done deal. But you know what? In my heart, he was absolutely right. And even though it was a little painful to kind of have to face it in that way, meaning that it wasn't as good as it could be, after I got over that, I wrote Someday Afternoon literally in about half an hour.
Oh, wow.
And it's easily one of my favorite tracks on the record, and I think the musicians who play on it did an amazing job interpreting the feel and the mood that I was wanting to convey.
Nice, 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 nice. I just followed you on Twitter, so everyone go check her out on Twitter, Anna Furman.
Hey, thank you.
Now, you are Filipino. Do you have like a certain following? Because like as comedians, like, you know, we get a certain following for whatever reason. Maybe because, you know, you have a certain stage presence, like because of your nationality or ethnicity. Do you have that kind of following, or maybe that kind of support? But you also, you know, have a Chicago following. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. I think that it's something that is growing. Definitely is growing. Is like my Filipino contingent. Of course, I've got my peeps out in Kenosha, Wisconsin. My that's where my mom and dad are from, and I've got, you know, just a ton of relatives and extended family, Filipino family, that I grew up with, and so they've always been wonderful supporters. But as far as like reaching out into the Filipino community in a broader perspective, it's kind of been interesting. You know, I can't say that you know, that my shows are packed with Filipinos, but I think that they're definitely, I think that
give credit where credit's due.
Joel has a lot of racists show up at his shows.
Oh, there you go. But no, it's been cool. I feel really blessed, you know, from all the support I've been getting from the Filipino community and otherwise. And so I'm just happy to be where I'm at.
Oh, that's great. And we want to thank Andrea for putting us in touch.
Yes, thank you, Andrea. I love that girl.
Absolutely. She is. She's great. And she was like, she emailed me right away and was like, listen, if you're still featuring music, you have to listen to it. I mean, it was a great endorsement. She really believes in you.
Oh, thank you. That's really sweet. I really appreciate hearing that.
That's great. And everyone go check out her music and at AnnaFurman.com. You can find it on, what'd you say? It was on
iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon.com.
iTunes, CD Baby, and Amazon.com. Check her out on Twitter. Do you have a fan page on Facebook?
Yes, I do.
You can find her on Facebook.
Facebook.com, Anna Furman Music.
Okay. And also AnnaFurman.com. And could they buy directly off your website, or could they just go
there? Yeah, well, they can download it directly off my website
okay.
as well.
Oh, okay. So you have everything, I'm sorry, you have everything free on there?
I don't have anything free on there,
okay.
But you can go and listen. You can stream a full song live on my Reverb Nation page.
Okay, cool. And then everyone could buy all their stuff.
Why?
Yes. And how long have you been playing music?
I have been playing music for the last 15 years. I mean, as far as writing original music and performing my own stuff.
Oh,
so
wow.
I've been doing
so
it for a little while.
Do you have any good road stories for us? I mean, we feature comic road stories on this show. That's the main thing of the show, going around doing music. Musicians
yes,
have
I
just
have
as wild road stories. So.
I have a really awesome road story. I was out, we were out playing show, actually out your way, out in New York, with my band, Trigger Gospel, which is an alternative country band that I fronted for a long time. And I still do, but this is just a different project I'm doing. Anyway, we were doing a show out in New York, and we played a great place out there called the Bowery Ballroom, and we were heading back.
Okay, I know.
And we were heading back to Chicago. And I can't remember the turnpike, but we stopped off right at this rest area before one of the big turnpikes.
Okay.
And everybody went to the bathroom and, you know, got something at the McDonald's or whatever. And we pile back into the van and we get back on the road and we, you know, get to the toll booth. And all of a sudden we hear a phone ringing. And it's like it's our drummer's phone that's ringing because we can tell by his ringtone. We're like, Pauly, your phone is ringing because we've got this big ass van. And he's not answering. And we look back there. He's not in the van.
So you left your drummer at the...
Yes, exactly. We left him at the rest area, and he was at a payphone calling his own phone, hoping that we would answer it to go back and get him.
Because obviously he doesn't know anyone else's phone numbers because they're all in his phone.
Obviously.
Wow,
obviously.
That's great. How much longer was it till Pauly quit the band?
Well, funny thing is, he is still with the band, and actually he's the longest... He is the I shouldn't say it that way. He is the musician. he's the one musician that I have played with the longest of any musician that I have been with. So he's been my loyal supporter, my brother. I love Pauly, and so he's been there for me the whole time, regardless of us leaving him.
How long did it take you to go back and get him? How far were you from him?
Luckily, it was not that far. I think we were only maybe like 5 or 10 minutes out. Because it was literally like a rest stop, like, you know, just a couple miles down from the toll.
Oh, I've never done that, but I did have to go back and get someone who I thought was in Florida. I had to go back and get somebody who was supposed to be traveling with us, but I thought they were going with someone else, and I left them at a concert. And the Florida Turnpike, the next exit isn't for like 38 miles. So I had to drive down like 38 miles, then drive back 38 miles. Yeah, it was a big ordeal.
Luckily,
over an hour.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that can be a pain.
Yeah, they cursed me pretty good.
I bet.
Yeah, that was my ex-girlfriend, actually. That's why we're not going
out anymore. The plot thickens.
Well, We're thankful for you calling in and being our unsigned artist of the week.
Want
everybody to
Thank
go
you.
Buy your album on iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon. It's Someday Afternoon. We're going to be playing the title track right now. Follow her on Twitter, at Anna Furman. Go to her website, AnnaFurman.com. And please enjoy the song. And Anna, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, guys. I'm thrilled. Take care, Oscar and Soul Joe.
Thank
Keep
you.
Up.
All right, take care.
You're listening to The Comedy Point with Soul Joe on WIFI 1460 AM Florence.
Getting to the other side. Mountains look great on a moonlit night. We can all fall into the usual mess with an obsession to say.
You're listening to The Comedy Point with Soul Joe on WIFI 1460 AM Florence. That was Anna Furman with Someday Afternoon. Log on our website, AnnaFurman.com, and follow her on Twitter, at Anna Furman. This is The Comedy Point with Soul Joe on WIFI 1460 AM Florence, WENU 1410 AM in Lake George, Baltimore Radio, B-More Radio, Brooklyn Radio, Talk Superstation, and KCOR in Kansas City. Thanks for tuning in to The Comedy Point each and every week. Follow us at The Comedy Point on Twitter, at The Comedy Point. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsor.
Welcome to Real Results. Hoboken Boot Camps, located at 720 Monroe Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. www.hobokenbootcamps.com. What can you accomplish in 35 minutes? Wash the dishes, do a load of laundry, answer some emails, or how about sculpt sexy muscles, blast ab fat, improve strength, and gain more energy than you ever imagined? That's what you can accomplish in 35 minutes. Contact Coach David of Hoboken Boot Camps at hobokenbootcamps.com. Soul Joel can do it, so can you.
Come on down to Lucas Chevrolet, located at 1622 Route 38 East in Lumberton, New Jersey. With great financing available and over 500 vehicles to choose from, including GM-certified used vehicles, visit Lucas Chevrolet today. A family-owned and operated business for over 65 years, Lucas Chevrolet is home of the 5-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Call General Manager Tom Kilroy at area code 609-267-0200. Again, that's 609-267-0200. Visit Lucas Chevrolet for all your car needs and tell them The Comedy Point sent you.
You're listening to The Comedy Point with Soul Joel, featuring co-host Christine Meehan, head writer Barack Azoon, the one and only Mad Dog Mannern, and yours truly, Soul Joel. So whether we are back, Matt Scarpelli.
We are back on the air. A little technical difficulty there.
No, we're good, man. We're good. You're listening to The Comedy Point with Soul Joel. I want everybody to come to the Comedy Festival. I can't thank you guys enough for coming to support. This is a baby of mine, the biggest event that I do every year. Seven nights, seven venues for seven different charities. StatenIslandComedyFestival.com. Use promo code SI Comedy Fest, FEST, to get $5 off any show, April 15th through the 21st. Again, it's seven nights, seven different venues, seven different headliners, seven different charities.
Why don't you tell me who's going to be on the at the Comedy Festival, who's performing? Because I know who's performing the night I'm performing, but the other nights.
So Sunday, we're kicking off the festival. I can't say who we're kicking it off with.
Okay.
And then it's going to be at the JCC. It's actually a kids show, so anybody
family
can attend.
Show.
Family show.
Fun for all.
Any age. Come Monday night, Colin Jost, who has actually never headlined a show on Staten Island. He's a writer for SNL. Tuesday night, Vic DiPotato and Joey Gay, hosted by you. Wednesday night, Gemini with Mike Boschetti. It's Thursday night, Sherrard Small, VH1's Best Week Ever, and MTV's New Year's Eve Bash.
Nice.
And then Friday night is going to be John Mulrooney, Comic Strip Live, and
a host of things.
That he was
like
doing.
A good lineup. That's,
and then Saturday night we got a bunch of you know, special guests that we cannot announce.
That sounds like the best week of all the comedy festivals so far.
Yeah, it's definitely we've definitely stepped up our game this week this year. Yeah. And it's going to be a great week, and we moved it up to April, so that we're looking forward to it. So without further ado, as we start off every Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the month, for our second hour, it is Christian Spicer. Follow him on Twitter, @Spicer. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Man, I almost want to go out to those shows. Those sound incredible.
Thank
you're
you,
not
brother.
Even, like, revealing the special guests. That's amazing. Those are going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. Saturday, we got to see your fan Johnny Cisco again out here. We have to get you out here, man. All he does is talk about you and how he wants you to come out here on the East Coast, man.
I think it's because he wants to wrestle me and, like, hurt me WrestleMania style or something like that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure of Johnny's motives just yet. No, I'm just kidding. Johnny's a great guy.
Well, you know,
are you guys go ahead?
No, I was going to say, you know what's funny about that? My sister actually came to the show. And then I showed her your Twitter account, and I was just letting her know, like, it's amazing how there's been some cross-promoting for us, for you, and now it turned into people coming out to our shows. And she looked right at your profile and saw the word gamer, and she goes, that's why Johnny likes him.
Oh, yeah, that's how we met, is through gaming. Man, I try to walk away from gaming. Do any of you guys still play video games?
I actually I started to play a little bit again. I actually stopped playing for 3 years. I didn't touch a console at all. It was harder to give up playing video games than drugs. Seriously, it was ridiculous because I was like, I'm wasting so much time. I should be writing. I should be focusing on other things than playing video games. So I actually went cold turkey for about 3 years, and I just recently have gradually been able to stop playing for like an hour a couple times a week, because it would, you know, I'd stop playing a game at say like 10 o'clock at night, be like, I'll play one game and then go to bed. Next thing I know, the sun's up and I'm still going. I'm like, this is wrong.
Yeah, you see, you went a different route than I did. So you went cold turkey, and congratulations for you. And I'm just sitting around trying to think of projects that I can pitch to include that justifies my gaming habit. Like my show at UCB in LA is all about video games. I just had a web series
now
picked up but not started, but it's about video games. And so that's what I do. I'm like, how can I justify still playing all these games?
Now, let me ask you a question. Is it hard to get people to come out to those shows, because gamers are kind of intense in gaming, so they won't put down the control pad to come see a show that's about gaming because they're gaming?
Yeah, no, it is. It's tough. I think that's really tough for TV. I think, like, some of the great shows on G4 struggle with that. Like, how do they get audiences to put down the controller? I think the advantage I have with, like, the show at UCB is that it's a live show, and fans get to meet me and Jeff Cannata, my co-host, and the industry celebrities that we have. So it's kind of that you're not just watching it on TV. It's that interactive. It's why people go to live comedy. It's why live comedy is better than the best hour special on HBO or Comedy Central. It's because you're there and you're part of it. So that's the advantage I think our shows have.
Because if they're sitting there in front of the TV, they'll end up, you know, if they're hearing someone talk about a game they like, they'll end up turning it off and putting on the game.
Yeah, especially now when you can just download it, you know, more likely than not from the console. Like, oh, that game does sound good. Turn on console, download game, and away we go. Hello, morning.
There was, I played a whole, back in, I think, 2006. Do you remember when the whatchamacallit, they had the elections came, and the results didn't come out to who won the House until Friday morning? I ended up playing a whole baseball season from Tuesday night to Friday morning because I was like, I'm waiting to see what the results are. I'm waiting to see. And I literally played a whole baseball, 162 games plus the playoffs from Tuesday to Friday without going to sleep. There's a little cocaine involved with that, obviously, because who's going to stay up that long?
Thank you for your honesty, Mascarpelli. That is awesome.
Who are you playing as? Can you be as honest as
the
which team you were playing as?
I was playing as the Mets. Yeah, don't boo me because I boo me, okay?
I only boo the Mets because they stole Carlos Beltran from my Astros, also known as the Lastros, also known as soon to be the American League whipping boys in, 2 years, so whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Spicer, last night we were just talking to Drew Curtis of Fark.com, and he's down in Lexington, Kentucky, where the, you know, home of Kentucky just winning March Madness last night. How big is March Madness out on the West Coast?
You know, I feel like with comics, it's pretty big because the Los Angeles comedy community, I imagine the New York comedy community is kind of the same. We're a bunch of immigrants, people coming from different places and congregating. So among comics, you have people that went to school all over the place, rooting for their team or their hometown. Among general population, I feel like it hasn't been that big since the UCLA, you know, golden age. USC had some good things going, but then, recruitment violations kind of ruined their potential resurgence into the scene.
That's cool, man. And who do you represent or who do you root for?
Man, I went to Rice University in Houston, and they are such a small school. We have a great baseball team, good track program, which is what I did. But basketball, it's hard for me to get behind a team without feeling like a fair weather fan. I had a friend that coached at Arizona and coached at Kentucky for time, so I got behind them. But I still felt fake doing it, especially because when my friend was there, they were really good teams. So it's like, oh, of course you like the Wildcats. Well, yeah, they're winning. It's easy to like them, you know.
Well, gamble on it, then that justifies everything.
Right, that makes it better.
That's what I do when I go to baseball games, because I really don't care about baseball. So me and my girlfriend like to go see. I actually want to see every baseball, basketball, and football arena in the country. So when I go to baseball games, if there's two teams that are playing that I really don't care about, I just make a bet on one of them. That way I have someone to root for. Even if it's only a $25 bet, just to have some fun with it, you know.
Yeah. Do you play fantasy sports? I feel like you could get deep into that, too.
No.
His whole life's a fantasy.
No, I don't play fantasy sports because it's a conflict of interest with my gambling. I tried it before, and I wouldn't bet on against the team because I had a guy on that team, the stupidest stuff in the world. So I just stopped playing fantasy sports altogether.
I like the way you had, like, morals against fantasy sports because it got in the way of your gambling.
Exactly. You got to make a stand for something, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So what's new and exciting with Christian Spicer? Follow him on Twitter, @Spicer. Like, you need any more Twitter followers, but I had to plug it anyway.
Thank you. I do need more, man. It's funny, right? Because we get obsessed with that number, and I had a nice number for a while, and I still have a very nice number. But when I launched Double Jump at UCB last month, I mean, a lot of my tweets were about the show and about the guests we had lined up, and I could see Twitter followers falling away that weren't interested in that many tweets about my show. And that made me upset. But then I thought about it more, and it's like, well, wait a minute. Well, I have this nice number. I'd much rather have half of that, but have them be people that are actually interested in the things I'm interested in than just having a number. But I feel like, maybe I'm alone in this, but I feel like we get obsessed with, like, oh, I have 220 or I have a million, and you want that number just for the sake of having the number, instead of like, okay, well, I have half of that, but they're my best friends, or they go to all my shows and they support everything I do. And so everyone that quit following me when I was promoting Double Jump, screw you.
Hell with them. You don't need them.
Yeah. Now, if you want to follow me, it's @Spicer, and I'd love to have you back. What can I do to make it up to you?
To hell with them. Please come back.
I've never heard a welcome back to Twitter plug.
Right, yeah. Come back. See what you've been missing this season on Spicer at Twitter.
Oh, that's awesome, man. But it seems like you do have a good following. I mean, you know, you've created a buzz just based on your appearances on this show. It seems that you do have a bit of a cult following.
Well, you're nice. I personally think all my Twitter followers are jerks, and they're good for nothing. And
I can actually hear them unfollowing you right now.
No! That's the sound of the internet crashing. I hate that sound. Son of a gun. No, they're great. And they are good. I mean, of course, I feel like in this business, we want everything to be bigger, better, badder, and faster and quicker. But no, I'm very fortunate. The shows I do are amazing. I'm at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood tomorrow. That's going to be great. I already know some people that are coming out to that. They've told me through Twitter. And like we've talked about on this show, I love my fans. I love becoming friends with them and getting to know them in a meaningful way and interacting with the things that they're passionate about and trying to roll that into my comedy. And I can joke about it all I want, but I'm very appreciative of everything that the people that like me do for me. They're great. We wouldn't be here without them, you know?
Do you – no, I definitely agree. Do you see Google Plus taking off at all?
No, I don't.
It's stupid, isn't it?
I don't know
why. It's annoying.
Yeah, it's just late to the game, I think. Are you guys big on it? Do you even?
I'm huge on
post there regularly?
No, I mean I definitely post there regularly just because I feel like it's a list that you have to check the box. So I'm like, well, I might as well be on it. I mean, it's
right.
I don't know.
I feel like
Facebook. It just, I mean, everybody goes there. I feel like people wake up in the morning and they go to, I don't know, like CNN or the New York Times or whatever their news site is. They go to Facebook. They go to Twitter. And I don't think Google Plus is in that daily mind share for people, which is, I mean, I think it's a great site. I like the way it's organized, and they really made a stress about being friends with real friends and organizing people and stuff. But it just, at least among my peers in comics in L.A., no one really seems to put that much weight behind it.
You know, that's how Hitler got started, right?
Google Plus?
Yeah, yeah. That's how it all started.
The opinions of Matt Scarpelli are only the opinions of Matt Scarpelli. No, so you still have the show going on in San Diego tonight?
Yep. Well, if that's Comedy Night, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m., free all ages in San Diego. Tonight is Jared Harris, who you might know from Action Figure Therapy. Is his, like, it's a huge YouTube channel. He's a great comic. I believe originally out of Atlanta and now calls L.A. home. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And I started putting video blogs on my YouTube channel, which is just youtube.com/Christian Spicer. And I'd show a couple of jokes from the headliner, and then we chat for a little bit. They're like 5-7 minutes. But to give people that either couldn't make the show or out of town a little taste of what the show is like.
Nice.
Cool, brother. Yeah, no, it's such a fun room. You look at it, you're like, oh, I don't know, you know, what's going to happen by looking on the outside. But you go inside, it's this cool, hip coffee shop to the left and theater to the right, man. And always a supportive crowd. Great for comedy.
Yeah, they're great. When the humidity gets too bad for you out there, hit me up. You'll plan on West Coast. We'll get you out in L.A., San Diego. We'll have a lot of fun doing shows. And we can go to the beach, you know, just relax. We can watch bad baseball. You know, live the dream. Live the California dream.
Yeah, brother. Well, no, I'm looking forward to it. Scarpelli and I might be coming out because he's got an apartment that he doesn't live in Burbank, and he's got to move his stuff.
Nice.
He's got to move his stuff out in late August, so we're probably going to be planning a trip.
Not tonight. I haven't told my roommate yet, but
well, now you did. Now you told him.
Well, I hope he's listening. You never know who's listening on radio. That's what's the beauty of it.
Well, we'll definitely be making a trip out to California. I might even be out there sooner than that, just to come out for a week, a couple of days or something like that at some point to visit my stuff.
Yeah, to see how it's doing, check in on it, say what's up,
You know what's funny, Christian? It's one of those things where he gave me the head nod and the wink, and I'm like, all right. And I just plugged it, and he goes, no, you idiot, that was the silent head nod and wink.
Yeah, if you wanted you to say it, he would have winked with his right eye. He clearly winked with his left.
The shorthand isn't really working tonight. we just have big chalkboards from now on.
So, and before we let you go, how's all the improv going and your stand-up, sit-down show going?
It's good. You know, it's plugging away. We're still doing it. I like the podcast. It's a lot of fun. It's on iTunes and stuff as Stand Up, Sit Down. And then this other YouTube channel has been slow to launch, but we officially got picked up by I can announce things probably next month for sure, but we got picked up with a nice little deal for that. So now we're really going to make it happen. But there was a delay because we were pitching it, and now it happened. And so that will be launching hopefully this week. And then lastly, this is not a plug for me at all, but I wrote for the CBS Diversity Showcase at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And one of the most talented cast members from it, Kate McCann, she's the newest cast member of Saturday Night Live. She is going to be, her premiere episode is this Saturday. And Kate is such a talent, and it's just so cool to know someone that I was writing sketches for, you know, 4 months ago. We'll be making her SNL featured player debut on Saturday. So if you haven't watched SNL in a while, tune in. Kate is amazing, and I couldn't be more excited for her.
Yeah, I like how you didn't want to prematurely announce something like I did.
Right.
and all Christian goes is, right.
what do you want? Do you want me to elaborate? I don't know what you want from me.
I'm not an idiot. I'm a comedian. No, and people don't realize that, Christian. That people, comedian, you have to be smart in order to be funny. And a lot of comedians are college graduates that just chose this as a profession.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The beauty of comedy from the audience is it looks like we're making it all up on the spot and we're just funny, witty people, and then we're really smart, often shy, you know, people that sit in a corner and write and, you know, scour over every word to make it seem like we just thought of it. And it's a lot of work to be funny.
Yes, and it could be very frustrating, especially if you write a bit that doesn't work and you're like, damn it!
I don't know what you're talking about. Does that happen to you?
That was great. Nice comeback.
Thank you.
Christian, you're always fun to have on, man. We want everybody to follow you at Spicer, and we look forward to you announcing officially everything next month.
Yes. I feel like every month I say I can say it next month, but next month for sure I can. Thank you guys so much.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later, buddy.
All right, man. See you guys.
He's a great guest, man. Always fun to have on. Mm-hmm. Christian Spicer. Follow him on Twitter at Spicer. Oscar, do you always try to have pictures that are going to distract us while on the radio?
I wasn't trying to distract you with the first lady. I apologize.
She looks good.
Oh, that was Michelle Obama?
I just looked at the body. She looks real good.
Let me pull it back up. Hold on. I'll let you see what I was looking at. I was
kind
of
surprised.
Now it's porn. Now see what you've done? I was just looking at my first lady. You've turned it into soft.
It's the election year, and some pictures have surfaced of Michelle Obama. No, just kidding. She had a sundress on. She had a sundress on, which explains.
No, actually, she had on some jeans.
Oh.
They were pretty.
Wow, sundress jeans. I always get those confused myself.
Looks like I'm no longer 2015 vision.
her head's down. That's why we didn't recognize her face. You could just really see her body in that. But she looks good.
Yeah, and I wasn't looking at her waist down.
He was just looking at the cleavage.
I was.
You're listening to the Comedy Point with Soul Joel. guest host Matt Scarpelli. I'm a guest host. What am I saying? Co-host.
Joel's been drinking today.
No,
lots of booze. He's been doing
shots. That's not water, and that's smart water.
I had a couple of too many coffees with Space Cookie.
And then
it's his birthday.
2 5-hour energies.
No. I have not had even one yet.
Really?
No?
The other one's for the way home.
Oh, and you're scratching and itching like you had, like a freaking junkie over here. I need a hit.
Are you excited as I am right now for Randall to be calling in, the Honey Badger?
Yeah, I am very excited.
It's the second time.
The last time he called in.
Now, I don't know, Oscar, if you've watched this and how big it is in your community, but...
Wow. Joel is just all sorts of racist.
No, because you know what?
Between you blacks and the Koreans,
the Filipinos. Jesus Christ. Scarpelli can't even get it right when he's trying to accuse me of being racist. And the Koreans, for crying out loud. Filipinos. No, because I've been actually, I got a bone to pick. I've actually had people that have been trying to call me out for being vanilla, not white, just generic, on Facebook. Because two Fridays ago, I said on Facebook, is it okay if I wear white after Labor Day? Completely kidding. And people are like, read GQ and stop typing up these fashion tips or questions on Facebook. I'm like, do you know the whole thing was kidding? I was kidding the whole time.
Oh, wow.
So this segment is sponsored by...
by people who are asking if you can wear white after Labor Day.
Chastise, exactly.
People are nuts.
Meanwhile, people are nuts. My sister actually said, I feel bad for you because people take shots at me publicly. But meanwhile, I get talking like, you know what? People say that my posts on Facebook are hilarious because in literally 27 minutes, I had 27 comments because people are so passionate about their fashion.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares exactly?
Who made up this rule about the white we can't wear white after Labor Day anyway?
Black people made up that rule.
Is it the whole winter thing?
400 years of wronging.
Right?
We're going to make it right.
Y'all can't wear nothing white after the Labor Day. Yes, sir.
But this actually started.
Please understand, sir.
By mentioning Randall, the Honey Badger, who will be returning for his second appearance here on the Comedy Point. When we had him back, he is the voice of the Honey Badger. And the Honey Badger, basically what he does, Oscar, is he takes.
Is this a YouTube sensation?
A YouTube sensation, yeah.
Okay.
What he does is his father used to work for National Geographic and came home with these videos, and you know how they're like boring narrations? Well, what he did was he took the voiceover and redid it, the video, and redid it with his own voiceover. When we had him back in November, the video had 21 million hits. Now we have him just 4 months later, 4 or 5 months later, 42 million hits. It's unbelievable, doubled.
42 million.
That's wow. 41 video, and that's just one video.
So how many? I'm sorry. What did he have first before you?
So what is his, what does his YouTube cut look like?
I don't know, man. It's
got to be ridiculous.
Yeah. Listen, we actually made a video. Like Scarpelli will take the guest that we have now and make a video of it. And we started out. We have an intern from Wagner College do it last fall. She made a video, posted it up the next day, and we Randall posted it on his page. It got 2,100 hits instantly because he's got so many subscribers on
his
YouTube.
How many people did he have before he was on the air?
21 million.
And now he has 42.
So
you doubled his amount of viewers.
I mean, I didn't want to make that conclusion. I'm glad that you brought it up. I was trying to mention the numbers, and finally someone caught on. No.
I could see it. I see it. Wow. Holy. 42 million.
This guy's voice, and I wish we could play it on the air. But
I'm trying to find. Are they not? They're not edited.
No. They're not edited. We could play a little bit of it. But no,
I don't know which one to go to.
That one.
The one I'm on?
That one, I think. Yeah.
That one.
That one.
Tribute to Honey
no,
Badger.
No.
Not this tribute. One right here.
This one.
The Honey Badger Don't Care?
No.
Go that on. One.
No, it should be the one. First of all, don't listen to Scarpelli. He's still
got help it.
He's still got his sunglasses on, my dude.
But the prescription.
Dude, that one. No,
I had to wear these home because I couldn't find my regular glasses. Coming back from Pennsylvania, me and Joey drove up the other night.
Wait, did I say?
The crazy.
And I had to wear my sunglasses driving up the highway so I could see. And Joey, to make me not feel out of place, wore his sunglasses too while we were in the car.
You guys are two maniacs. All right, so before we have on the Honey Badger, we want to play a little bit of the video.
It's the Honey Badger. Watch it run in slow motion. It's pretty badass. Look, it runs all over the place. Whoa, watch out, says that bird. Ew, it's got a snake. Oh, it's chasing a jackal. Oh my gosh. Oh, the honey badgers are just crazy. The honey badger has been referred to by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most fearless animal in all of the animal kingdom. It really doesn't give a shit.
If it's okay.
And we're done. And that is the honey badger.
That made it worthwhile.
raw and uncut, FCC. So but it's funny, man. Because you literally when we have him on, you'll see what I mean. But he was inspired by these National Geographic, and he was a guy that actually saw the video, which is it's kind of like boring, bland videos, and he said to himself, he can fix this. He can make it exciting. And then you watch that after watching the original narration, it's so much. And actually a friend of mine, Oscar, that I grew up with, made a tribute to that video and did it with his son and called it the Johnny Badger. And we talked about
the Johnny Badger.
Yeah, we talked about it with him last time when we had on Randall. And I was like, do you get upset and offended when someone tries to recreate what you're doing? And he said he doesn't because it's actually like a compliment for someone to try to make his video. But he does get offended when someone will take his voice and then lace it over something else.
Okay. I was going to say, but he said that he didn't get offended by what your friend's son did. But then mysteriously 3 days later, his friend's son got beat up in the middle of the street and walked away bloody.
That's not true.
Okay. Because that was first, you should have seen my face.
No. First of all, it's
April Fool.
All right. We're sitting in a triangle. Oscar is completely split by me and Scarpelli. So Oscar was looking directly at Scarpelli and then slowly just head nod shift to Joel.
With his eyes getting bigger and
for
walking away.
The second opinion, yes. Did this really
is this
happen?
Confirmation?
Yeah. Or can I no longer listen to the co-host with rosy tinted sunglasses indoors?
I didn't know what was going on with that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's almost as if
is
your
that
bias said,
he doesn't like his voice over anybody else's anymore?
Yeah, that's your, what that means.
Your slow head nod said to me, true or false?
I was wondering, okay.
And so right now, Randall, his face right now has only been appearing because TMZ caught up with him.
Oh.
Because one of those mysteries. I mean, after 21 million hits, 30 million hits, 42 million hits, people start getting.
The only reason I heard of him is because, what did I say, he was on the Today Show? It was either Today or Good Morning America. They showed him for a good 30 seconds. He had a 30-second spot.
Well, after these millions and million hit, people are trying to get curious about what this guy looks like. So I guess TMZ caught up with him. But now that's the picture that's on the internet of him all over the place with sunglasses. And I think he's got a wig on. But
yeah,
he's doing a book tour now. Okay. So he's got his book and he wants to Popeye's up for some awards for his narration and stuff like that. So we're very excited.
That's wild. He's got to be making a mint off that.
He would be hilarious. Like, shown. I don't know. Did they ever do one over the boy? What was the guy from LSU? Tyrann Mathieu. Did they ever do one with the guy Randall's voice?
Oh,
over top of that. That would be hilarious because this guy's playing football, and I'm sorry, but Randall sounds kind of sweet to me. So
I'm not
even going to hold you. Like,
no.
So that would be hilarious, like watching him. And there goes the honey badger. He's tackling him.
He's not only funny to listen to; he's also a funny writer. Yeah. The way he writes to me, he'll send me messages on Twitter. I said that him, Christian, and Julian are on, and they're all from LA.
Uh-huh.
And he tweeted back at me, "Oh my goodness, you just made my tail go straight up in the air, and my paws clap." Can't wait for the show, XOXO.
And you got, it's like when you're reading his text, you're talking his voice,
right?
So you're like, listen, right. You're like, this is the way he would say it, like,
yeah, no.
Should I respond to that?
You're exactly right. And it's one of those things where we asked him last time he was on the show that anything that he said in his voice, Oscar, what you just said, can sound funny. So we're like, what is the scariest animal or the funniest animal out there in the animal kingdom? And he's like, the eye-eye. And it's just the way he said it. The eye-eye. And it looked like a cross between a rat and a bat. And it was it's just crazy. But I love the way he talks. It is so funny. So you can follow him on Twitter, at Randall's Animals. You can follow him on YouTube.
There's so many people that got that ripped off the honey badger on Twitter that's not him.
Really?
I mean, yeah, if you type in honey badger into Twitter – there's going to be a bunch of different people show up as the honey badger.
And his name is Randall's Animals.
Yes.
So that's him. But you know what's funny? When we tweeted about him, all of a sudden on the comment, I thought he had commented on our website, thecomedypoint.com,
mm-hmm.
but it was actually the honey badger from the Bronx Zoo.
Oh, okay.
So it's almost like honey badgers have united. Like he's brought out this funny thing and –
and everyone's jumping on the bandwagon.
Because you think about it, did you even know about, before I'm bringing this up, the honey badger? Like, would you think?
I didn't even know what a honey badger was.
That's what I'm saying. He wouldn't even be in the top.
Before the guy from LSU, I didn't know what a honey badger was. So
I thought it was a candy bar, but I really did. When I first heard it going around, I thought it was some kind of candy.
Scarpelli might have had one of the most interesting childhoods ever known to man.
I honestly thought it was like one of those new Sprout kids shows, like the honey badger.
Okay, yeah,
like
that makes sense.
It just sounded like, so I was like, and then I was like, wow, okay, this is crazy. Yeah, we can do that.
All right, well,
teaser. You could have said
when we come back, can you play the commercials right now?
No.
Joel just put his head away from the microphone, but then he just went. I pushed the microphone to the side so they can't hear me in radio land.
Oh my god.
Nothing like me starting to sweat some more. Revealing the curtain. Let's just take it down. We'll be right back with the Honey Badger, our featured guest here on the Comedy Point.
I'm going to go smoke.
You're going to go smoke, and we'll be right back with the Honey Badger. You're listening to the Comedy Point with Soul Joel.
All right.
Welcome to Real Results, Hoboken Boot Camps, located at 720 Monroe Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. www.hobokenbootcamps.com. What can you accomplish in 35 minutes? Wash the dishes, do a load of laundry, answer some emails, or how about sculpt sexy muscles, blast ab fat, improve strength, and gain more energy than you ever imagined? That's what you can accomplish in 35 minutes. Contact Coach David of Hoboken Boot Camps at hobokenbootcamps.com. Soul Joel can do it, so can you.
Come on down to Lucas Chevrolet, located at 1622 Route 38 East in Lumberton, New Jersey. With great financing available and over 500 vehicles to choose from, including GM-certified used vehicles, visit Lucas Chevrolet today. A family-owned and operated business for over 65 years, Lucas Chevrolet is home of the 5-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Call General Manager Tom Kilroy at area code 609-267-0200. Again, that's 609-267-0200. Visit Lucas Chevrolet for all your car needs and tell them the Comedy Point sent you.
Tune into The Comedy Point with Soul Joel Tuesday nights, 5 to 8 p.m. on the Talk Superstation at TalkSuperstation.com. Tune in to hear comedians from around the country talk about their stories from the road, the shows, and beyond. With co-hosts Joey Gay, Matt Scarpelli, and Soul Joel himself, log on to TheComedyPoint.com. Follow us on Twitter at The Comedy Point. On the Talk Superstation, TalkSuperstation.com, Tuesdays, 5 to 8 p.m. Welcome to Real Results. Hoboken Boot Camps, located at 720 Monroe Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. www.hobokenbootcamps.com. What can you accomplish in 35 minutes? Wash the dishes, do a load of laundry, answer some emails, or how about sculpt sexy muscles, blast ab fat, improve strength, and gain more energy than you ever imagined? That's what you can accomplish in 35 minutes. Contact Coach David of Hoboken Boot Camps at hobokenbootcamps.com. Soul Joel can do it, so can you.
Come on down to Lucas Chevrolet, located at 1622 Route 38 East in Lumberton, New Jersey. With great financing available and over 500 vehicles to choose from, including GM-certified used vehicles, visit Lucas Chevrolet today. A family-owned and operated business for over 65 years, Lucas Chevrolet is home of the 5-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Call General Manager Tom Kilroy at area code 609-267-0200. Again, that's 609-267-0200. Visit Lucas Chevrolet for all your car needs and tell them The Comedy Point sent you.
Tune into The Comedy Point with Soul Joel Tuesday nights, 5 to 8 p.m. on the Talk Superstation at TalkSuperstation.com. Tune in to hear comedians from around the country talk about their stories from the road, the shows, and beyond. With co-host Joey Gay, Matt Scarpelli, and Soul Joel himself, log on to TheComedyPoint.com. Follow us on Twitter at The Comedy Point. On the Talk Superstation, TalkSuperstation.com. Tuesdays, 5 to 8 p.m.
Co-host Matt Scarpelli. How you doing, man?
I'm groovy, baby. Groovy, 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 groovy.
Once again,
you actually sounded like the commercial. Like you sounded like the cut that was the mix. I know we went back live.
But you know what's funny is Joey actually gives me slack for that. Because he says that I try to talk into my radio voice, but I like this difference between my promo voice and my regular talking voice. But I guess no, right?
No, I don't care.
I want to give a shout out. Friday night, I was doing a show down in Stone Harbor, New Jersey, raising money for Middle Township Sports down there. Oscar, you like this story? I did a radio spot for.
I'm sorry.
I missed the punchline.
I'm sorry. It was inside my head. Go ahead.
What was inside your head? Share it with us.
Yeah.
Don't hold it to yourself. Don't keep it in.
Is this a black story?
Of course it is. Why else would you like it?
No, it was actually a show.
It probably had to do with poor black people, too.
I heard Scarpelli in my head. That's why I started laughing.
No. First of all, that's funny just in itself.
I was laughing.
And second of all, this story actually involves all white people, so I don't know if that makes
it
better.
So why is he going to like it?
Well,
never mind.
Well, no.
He only likes white women. Don't you know black people better than by now?
Exactly.
Okay. So actually, maybe that's what made me think of this. After the show, this white woman comes up after the show, okay. And she says, "Oh, you work with Oscar?" No. So she said,
"Oh, wow."
No, she goes, I really enjoyed the show, really enjoyed the comedians. She was actually the mayor of that town.
Oh, really?
In Stone Harbor down in South Jersey. But she heard me on the radio on 1400 AM WOND in Atlantic City early that afternoon. It's like, it's crazy, dude, to think about the power of radio. And you've been radio for a while now. Like, you just never know who's tuning in.
I was listening.
It was nothing. I'm like, I don't know why she didn't tell that story a lot earlier and announce it to the crowd, but she kind of wanted just to blend in and not have people know that she's the mayor. But you know who was there? I don't think
Oscar liked it as much as you thought he would.
That story? Yeah, I'm bombing right now. Good. Christian Spicer's losing followers. We're losing listeners. So, Oscar, I don't know. Are you a Phillies fan? Good. All right, you'll really enjoy this story, though.
I'm a baseball fan. I'll just put it like that.
Well, do you remember Tommy Green?
Yeah.
From the Phillies. He was in the audience. And let me tell you, I almost didn't recognize him because he is jacked out of his mind. Like, he could be a WWE wrestler now, and it's hard to believe he was a pitcher.
Wow.
And he just 6'3". I mean, he's always been tall, but he's just a monster. Like, and
he's on the juice.
Steroids.
Oh, I don't know. I can't comment one way or the other.
You chew it.
Usually when you leave professional sports, you get smaller. This guy got bigger, so.
Trying to make a comeback, baby.
He does what I say I would do if I was retired and had a lot of time on my hands. I'd work out more. But anyway, so he shook my hand after the show. He almost crushed it, dude. 5 minutes into the set, he's talking. After I'm going up and host the show, and he's the one that's talking after every my punchline. I'm like, really, Tommy? It's not good enough that you pitch for the 93 Phillies in the World Series. You got to hit here and just heckle me in Stone Harbor.
So it's not good enough that everyone in the room is probably staring at him anyway, distracting him from the show. Now he's actually going to start talking to distract even more from the show.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta love that. Wow. You should have brought him up on stage. That would have killed that.
No, you know what's so funny? That we're in South Jersey, Philadelphia, the area, and I really do believe that there was people in the audience that were jealous that we were busting his balls so much. I think it's
jealous, or that they didn't get to bust his balls? Or?
No. Like it's almost
like enjoying that you were busting his balls.
No, they were enjoying that for sure. But I almost think that Philadelphia in general, people like to get their balls busted. Ball busted, right? So I think secretively they were like, why can't I get involved in this? Mm-hmm. Why can't you bust on me?
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that happening totally.
And Josh was doing a bunch of his bits and talking, and then people kind of jumped off at a couple of points, and he goes, what is it, only me and the professional baseball players that get girls in this room?
Nice.
But it was funny because if you picture Josh Speer, he's the opposite of what I described Tommy Green as being.
Yeah.
6'3" and jacked out of his mind, and you have Josh Speer.
Who's a petite man.
Yeah, he said soaking wet, 140 pounds. So,
but he does pull a lot of ass. It's an
oxymoron, a petite man.
He probably pulls more girls than any other comic I know.
Really?
Yeah. Who?
I'm not going to argue. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, he does. He has a natural charm about him. Charm.
He does. Absolutely.
Dead wrong.
You're dead wrong.
Dead wrong? Yes.
Tune in to The Comedy Point every Tuesday, 5 to 8 p.m. Log on our website, thecomedypoint.com. New blogs up each and every week. Follow us on Twitter, at The Comedy Point, and download each and every one of our shows for free on iTunes. Please leave us ratings. Please
curse comment. Us out if you want, whatever you want to do. Comments, we accept. Follow our YouTube page, The Comedy Point, on YouTube, the Twitter page, the Facebook page. The website, comedypoint.com. Check us out all over. You could also find Joel at SoulJoel2 on Twitter. Me at MattScarpelli14 on Twitter. And you can find us both on Facebook as well.
Man, I went to North Carolina. I forgot to get you something, man. I was told myself I was coming back.
What were you going to get him?
Wait, when did you go?
That's where I was this past week.
Oh, so that's why it's a cloud.
Yes.
That's why it's a haze.
God.
Why would you have to get him in North Carolina?
I don't know. I was just down there.
Do they specialize in shades in North Carolina? Something I don't know about North Carolina and sunglasses.
Normally people would think Times Square Mm-hmm. Let me get them for $2 for $5.
Yes.
And Oscar was thinking about me in North Carolina. Well, I'm actually just happy that you were thinking of me, Oscar, yeah, to be honest.
I actually was.
What part of North Carolina were you in?
I was in all over.
Oh. Wow, that. I don't know who's listening. Fun city all over.
Wait,
no, I was in Greensboro. I had to.
What did you go to visit several different Facebook friends, and you don't want to let them know that you were down there?
Yeah, because they all listening right now.
People can't see you do the quotations in the air on the radio. Here, so.
That's a good point, Matt Scarpelli, and that's why I have you to blow up my spot. And I heard we have a caller.
No, we don't.
Listening to the Comedy Point with Soul Joe, and right things are going smoothly.
What?
He's actually busy right now. He said he'll call back.
Oh, okay.
Really?
That's how he does you guys now, you know?
So instead of we had a surprise caller, we had no caller, and Joey Gay just told us to call back. He's busy now?
No, he said he'll call. Yeah. No, he didn't say for us.
I heard what you said, Oscar.
And that's just messed up when he says, no, I'll call you back. Like, okay. This is how it goes now?
So Matt Scarpelli and I are holding down the studio right now, and then all of a sudden, Joey Gay tells us.
Maybe he's in the meeting.
He did say he was still in the meeting.
Okay, that makes sense.
And he said it kind of fast, too, like,
I'm in a meeting.
Oscar, please don't put me on hold. I'm in a meeting right now. I can't go on. I'm sorry. Like, he started apologizing really bad. Like, he was, you know.
So he didn't just blow us off like, oh, I'm too busy. Yeah. I will call you back at my earliest convenience.
Yes. Like, all right. And then he hung up in my face before I said bye.
You know, that's my line on my outgoing voicemail. I'll return your call at my earliest convenience. And you know, I've heard a lot of people ripping me off with their outgoing voice messages.
Really? Because that was so original? Because those were original thoughts that you think, oh.
I've never heard anyone say it before on their voicemail.
You know what? I haven't heard a ridiculous statement like that.
That means he stole it, too.
First of all.
That's why he's saying it. Did you?
I haven't heard such a ridiculous statement since I was in fifth grade, and I thought to myself, as I was going at the last day of school, I'm going to sign everybody's yearbook. Hey, have a good summer. And then I saw everybody else was writing that.
Wow.
In the yearbooks. I'm like, dude, who stole my thoughts and wished everybody have a good summer?
Is that on your voicemail now?
No, but it should be.
Oh, you lie.
Have a good summer. What's up, you hack? What's up, you copycat? And seriously, I am not lying. That was what went through my head. I was like, boom. Like I had an epiphany over some cereal. Right. I know exactly what I'm going to write.
Why cereal?
Because that was how I eat for breakfast every morning from fifth.
What kind of cereal? Oh, I thought you were talking about now.
Yeah.
No. Since I was
I'm real confused now.
From fifth grade until high school,
do you eat cereal now?
I do.
What do you, what kind of cereal's for children. You shouldn't eat cereal as an adult.
Oh, really? Yeah. How many mature comedians do you know?
What?
They both begin with C's and are both immature.
What kind of cereal do you eat?
All like healthy stuff, man. I've been
so you can be regular.
Yeah. By the way, I'm looking for a new roommate. Speaking of children, what did I just say? No. One of my roommates is moving out. He just finished his first year at Wagner graduate school, so he's moving out because it's for the summer. And I need another roommate. Yep.
Really? How long have you had that one?
Wait. I'm going to be 32 in May. I'm still looking for a roommate.
How long have you had that roommate?
He moved in August. And he told me that he was going to stay for 2 years. And now he's moving out. Nothing to do with me.
No.
But I keep posting it on Facebook.
How many? Do you have two roommates or just one?
Two.
And
the other roommate works for Trader Joe's.
Okay.
Plugged.
Maybe the Trader Joe's guy is touching the...
No, he's got... No, they both have girlfriends.
Okay. Maybe he leaves the door open when he goes to the bathroom and it frustrates another guy.
Scarpelli, I oftentimes like want to say I want to spend a day in your mind. But then you say stuff like that.
You'll never get out, buddy.
I'm better on the outside.
You'll be like, where the hell's the door to get out of here? I'm stuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Earlier I was like, oh, let me just come pick you up early. I'm like, you know what? Regret.
Well, now we're going to be 9 hours together by the time. And then we're going to go for a beer afterwards. So after we eat.
That's still pending.
Still pending? Right. I'm going for a beer after this. Definitely. I actually had a couple beers last night with Gemini, Angel Salazar, and Vic from the Looney Bin.
Or as Gemini calls them, what, we're not going to have a cocktail puppy?
Yeah, and then he only has one and runs. I was like, what the hell?
No comment.
Yeah. When are we calling Randall? Are we calling him now? Or?
He's supposed to be calling us, buddy. We're waiting.
Okay. I thought we were calling him. So we're waiting on him, Joey Gay. And then they're all going to call right at Mad Dog
all
segment.
At the same time.
Yeah, no, that's how it's going to work. That's literally how it's going to work.
Yeah.
No, they're all going to call at the same time and be like, oh, sorry, Joey, we're busy. We're going to call you back.
They're all going to call the same number.
Yeah, they're all going to call. So, right.
The exact same. And it's going to be, I called him. The line was busy.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's about right.
Mm. Wow. So, yeah, but you were saying you eat healthy, the healthy cereal. What type of healthy cereal do you eat?
It's all like
you eat stuff with fiber in it and
what,
all the brands,
fiber and stuff like that. What it's
how
all
many
from,
times a day you go to the bathroom?
The closest
number two.
Do you know I recently heard that you're supposed to go every time you eat? So you're supposed to literally go three.
Yeah, I go about three times.
You
a
actually
day.
Are supposed to go three.
Yeah,
I'm regular as hell. Well, maybe not regular as hell, but I mean the last time I took a solid poop, my butt bled for about 4 days.
You're listening to the comedy.
I was waiting while I was going to.
You're listening to the comedy.
That probably has something
Joel,
to do with the amount of booze that goes through my system.
I want to personally thank Randall and Mad Dog and Joey for not being available right now, and Matt to be able to tell that story.
Of course. Of course, you love that story.
It's funny because I still heard you.
You still heard. You heard it before it even came.
I'm trying. Like I turned your mic off so you could say it. You were like. I'm just gonna leave your mic on. Just tell me what you want to know. That's okay. The people can.
I want to just think of it as a film. Do it right now. Do it. Call.
Oh, that's funny.
I know. We want people to tweet at us at the comedy point. I've been telling. You know, it's funny. I texted some people to tweet at us, and someone wrote back. What do you want me to tweet? Do I have to do everything?
Shut up.
Do I have to do everything?
What do you want me to tweet?
What do you want me to tweet? It's actually Justin Lewis. He tweets, he blogs for the Comedy Point on Thursdays. And he wrote, do you want me just to tweet the Comedy Point? Tune in because Joel's the man. I'm like, yeah, tweet that, dude. Tweet that.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Now you're insulting the people that do want to tweet at us. You can scare them off. I still don't even. I'm not even sure how Twitter works. I don't see a lot of this stuff. I have to end up waiting until it's in my email to see it. I just don't see a lot of this stuff that's tweeted at me when I'm looking at it up front. It's weird. I'm not a big. I'm not too big a fan of the Twitter.
Super fan Nick just goes, "WTF is this show turning into?"
Whatever you want it to be.
But by the way, Superfan Nick hit Joey Gay up on Facebook earlier this week, and he goes, hey, this is Superfan Nick. Joey Gay wrote back, whatever, Joel. I personally love how the inside jokes on this show is growing, from Oscar to Matt to Joey, myself, Superfan Nick, all
the
people.
Listeners.
To the listeners out there, three shady white guys with sunglasses on every Tuesday night. We enjoy entertaining you guys and building this fan base. It's a very grassroots following that we have. No, of course not.
Why would he answer the phone?
When I'm sitting here sweating in the studio, why would someone answer the phone when I want to get a guest?
It is hot in here. I mean, you're not sweating because you're sweating. It's hot.
No, sweating because I'm sweating. No, sweating because I'm obese, you mean.
Well, no, but that's a given.
You know what? I actually refrained from having the Wendy's
earlier.
Now
he's taking his clothes off. Now he's going to be doing the show in his boxer shorts and no t-shirt. With his big, sweaty man boobs all over the place. Now he's taking off his headphones.
Wait, why did you say that?
Because you took your clothes off.
Well, you didn't need to
say
sweaty man
boobs. Why is he giving us a
play-by-play
of you stripping?
You took your headphones off. I'm surprised you heard me.
Wow.
I heard you because I'm in the same room as you. You want to check?
Are you having trouble?
Do you all right, first of all, Oscar, I don't need it from both of you. This is my show.
I saw you struggling with
this.
The headphones. They won't. I'm trying to.
He's sweating
I'm
so much.
First of all, both of you, we don't need the headphones unless there's a caller on the line. We can just take the headphones off and hear each other because it's real.
Well, actually, I need them to balance. But
why can't I hear you right now?
Because you have the headphones off. And they're sliding off headphones? His head from all the sweat.
Try it again.
No, you put it on the wrong ears.
Oh, yeah, for some reason, only one headphone's working.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but it's fine. No,
I got
no,
the same thing with mine, too.
I can only really... By the way, for listeners out there, do you know that I have bad hearing in my right ear? Everything is like an inch further back, And it used to be so bad. You know how you want to do well on everything?
Yeah.
I used to cheat on my hearing tests in like third grade.
I did too.
Did you really?
I cheated every time because my hearing on my left ear is
really?
I have bad hearing in my left ear as well.
It would to the point where I would just start raising my hand, getting in a rhythm.
Yeah.
And the nurse would be like, Joel, we haven't started yet. So your hearing obviously has not improved. So if we could just... We haven't started yet.
I sleep on my right side, so I turn up the volume on the TV really loud because my left ear is the bad ear. And then if I ever roll over while I'm sleeping, all of a sudden the intensity and the noise goes up by a million and just wakes me right up because it's so freaking loud in my bedroom.
Yeah.
People are like, are you deaf? I'm like, yes, I am. In this ear, I am deaf. I can't talk on the phone with the left side. I got to use the right side.
Yeah, I got to use the right side, too. That's crazy.
Yeah.
By the way, Superfan Nick just weighed in, and he said, my following actually is fat drunk guys.
What? Wait, your following or Superfan Nick?
No, my following.
Joel's following is fat drunk guys.
Dude. Nick, by the way, is the greatest, and I think
is
I told
Nick a fat drunk guy?
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, yes, he is, and I hope he's still listening. Dude, Nick is the greatest, dude. He knows the best way to my heart is through my stomach, and it is something that I look forward to eating. And one of those stuff, you know, how you're at a venue and they take care of you, they give you some drinks, give you some food.
Yeah. Well, sometimes those are my favorite.
Sometimes before a show, you get to the point where you don't want to eat. You know, the nerves and stuff like that. Well, then I'm off stage, my nerves have calmed down. And I think it was me, Giannis, and Mad Dog. Mad Dog's on stage. Giannis and I are sitting on the side. And I looked at Nick and I go, Nick, we didn't eat. And he goes, you like nachos? And he comes back with the biggest pile of nachos, supreme, like everything that you can picture. I think everything from the kitchen was on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't eat an hour. If I'm going to do a show, I won't eat within an hour.
Once again, Scarpelli is not going to comment on any story that I told. He will hear my story, one up me, and here's mine. I hear your story, and I'm going to make one funnier.
I know. I just didn't know what to say about nachos. I'm not a big fan of nachos. I mean, yeah, all right.
Thank you.
No matter how
fan,
big the plate of nachos is, I'll eat like four nachos off of it, and I'll be done. I'm not a big nacho guy. I don't know why. Even unless there's steak on them, but even steak or shrimp nachos, yeah, after 5-6 bites of it, I get kind of bored. But I won't eat an hour before a show.
An hour before?
If I'll eat an
what,
hour
what is this,
before.
Adult Swim?
Yeah.
Children,
I
you just had your pizza.
I get on stage, damn it. So I won't eat within an hour, but then after show I'll eat. It's like the same thing, like a drink. I'll only drink two beers before a show. But then if I'm hosting a show, I got to keep on going up. By my last set, I'm kind of... drunk, or I got a nice strong buzz going, but I won't drink any booze before the show. I won't drink any booze during a show because no booze. Beer isn't booze.
No, you actually told my sister that your weight fluctuates 15 pounds back and forth based on what beer you drink.
Yes, it was. That's why I started drinking light beer about 10, 8, 9 years ago.
9 years ago.
Yeah, somewhere, 8, 9, 10 years ago.
8, 9, 10 years ago.
Yeah, because my weight was fluctuating about 15 pounds a week, depending on how much I drank. So at least with light beer, it only fluctuates about 4 pounds. And now I've actually lost, I used to like all the tasty beers and stuff, but I actually lost my taste from it once I switched to light beer. Now tasty beers, a lot of them give me headaches and they're annoying.
You know what? And my sister woke up on Sunday with a headache, and I wonder if it was from...
What was she drinking?
That microbrewery that you refused to drink.
Oh, okay. That what's his name had? Julian.
Julian, who's he's calling in later on. But it was only an...
One of them would give me a headache.
No, she only had one.
Yeah.
And she woke up feeling the worst.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah, that's why I just lost my taste for all this kind of BS.
Sunday... We were watching. I was with my grandfather watching the Flyers versus the Penguins.
Oh, there was a lot of fights in that game.
Huge amount of fights. And
Sidney
every
Crosby
time
got jacked from behind for no reason.
Yeah, every time there was another score, my grandfather would be like, "They scored again, like twice," because they were showing the replay. And then he'd be like, "So it's 6-2 now?" I'm like, "No, it's 5-3. Where did you get that score? It was never 6-2 at any point during the game." And he goes, "That's what you told me." I'm like, "Oh, now you're telling me and thought I lied to you?"
Wow.
It is now time for Dog in the Park with Mad Dog Madden.
Wow, 2 hours have gone by so far.
Yeah, it feels like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Mad Dog, how are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm okay, buddy. I'm just waking up.
Yo, guy. Good morning.
What's up, pal? Well, no, I meditate, and I passed out meditating. and then you wake up and I listen to the program that you can get off iTunes, and you listen to it on your phone, and I pass out, and some like British hypnotist, now imagine water on your eye. And there's like subliminal stuff, and it makes you a better person, but I pass out and I wake up,
what?
And you kind of don't realize what's going on. You're like, why is this British bloke? Where is he in my room? What is this? And then you're, oh, dummy, you were meditating. So that's what happened.
The British guy makes you all disoriented.
Envision yourself getting out the tension down to the neck muscle. So he does. he's probably got like a house on a yacht that's on its own mountain, that's got its own lake in the mountain, and his own breed of fish. He's probably like cleaned up. But I mean, I feel better. Listen to me. Can't you just feel the positive energy coming through me?
You sound balanced, my friend. You sound very balanced.
Find balance in your back muscle. The way he says it, it's so great. He's a Cockney, too.
Do you get
what?
Guys are great.
He's a Cockney.
Hmm.
Do you get aroused while you're listening to him?
Sometimes I think about broads, yes, and I have. And I think that's part of your body being totally relaxed. Because don't when you do like yoga and that, you definitely fart when you yoga. I've heard that. Like naturally, no one gets upset. It just happens. But you can get, like, don't people get aroused during yoga too because you're just so relaxed?
That's when I know it's time to go to sleep. When I get aroused. Because my body will fall asleep before my mind does. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm tired.
Wait a minute.
The opinions of Matt Scarpelli are only the opinions of Matt Scarpelli.
Opinions of Matt Scarpelli are very controversial right now. Let's back step.
Well, that's because you just got on the phone. I've been with this for 2 hours already.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say, Mad Dog?
Let's back step. So, you get aroused, then you know it's time to go to bed?
Yes. Yes.
It's not time to go find something to get the arousal out?
Well, I usually do that first, but then I will, like, when my body's completely tired and I'm exhausted, but I'm still awake, I have morning wood before I even go to sleep. So now I know it's time to lay down.
Morning wood is a misconception. Really, it's not about morning. It's about sleep. It's actually night wood. It's coming from the blood. It's coming from your sleep, your body recharging. All of that is natural. That's why, I mean, I wake up with about 8 different ones a night. A lot of it's because I got to pee, but a lot of it is just that's how it gets recharged at night when it gets released. There's times I'm up till 6 in the morning, and then I'm going to bed, and then I'll get one right there. It's because your body's on a natural timer. It's on if you will, an arousal timer.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if they could sell that in the stores instead of alarm clocks, hey now, hey, put your hands up, it's a stick up. Okay. But. Oh, burping.
God bless you.
At this point. Is Joey having a smoky smoke?
No, Joey's not here today. He had a meeting with his other radio station.
All right, I got to go then. I'll talk to you later. it's part of my contract that I only talk to Joseph Gay, and that I, anytime that Lake George is out of this deal, I'm out. Everyone knows that. These are the two things that bind in my contract.
The contract written in crayon.
Oscar, we need you to negotiate a new deal. I need you to come up. I want you to call my lawyer.
All right, I got you right now.
Afro Afrowitz. Give him a yell. He's been good for me for years. He's going to take care of it.
All right. Cool.
Oscar, besides you, Mad Dog is our only other non-minority.
Non-what?
Non-minority.
What do you mean non-minority?
Oops.
What are you talking about?
Wait, because I'm confused.
Joel's been very racist today, Mad Dog. He's been throwing out racial slurs all day long.
Non.
How is Oscar a non-minority?
I don't know.
I meant, I don't know how I should have phrased that.
I'm the other minority. I think that's what he was trying to say. You're the other minority. He confused me.
He confuses himself, apparently. wait a minute. What he means to say, Oscar, is you and I are the only non-crackers on the show today.
Okay.
I ain't no cracker, buddy.
Tip of the tongue. Tip of the tongue.
I got you.
Say honky? Is honky allowed? Is that FCC? Is that viewed as racial?
Hey, George Jefferson got away with it for years.
Well,
we can say
it, like,
buddy.
3 times now, so we'll find out if we get a letter to mail in about a week.
This kid who ended up playing in the NFL, man, I used to play hoops with him. And he used to be like, come on, honky. And he wasn't doing it like jokingly, like we're buddies. He used to do it really racial. It was kind of, I mean, I played football with him once during a high school game in the baseball field. And he, I ain't lying, he barely tackled me. He just like ran into me. I did a flip, like full body flip. The first time I've ever moved my body in the air like that.
Wow.
Dude, J.J. Bullock. John Bullock. That was crazy. Not the J.J. Bullock, the gay kid.
I was just thinking, what was his name? On
the Ted Knight Show and Three's Company. Or
Too Close for Comfort.
Whatever it is. Too Close for Comfort. Too many numbers when we were kids in sitcom.
Right.
You're right about that.
I got
too many numbers. Okay. So what is our general genesis today? What are we talking about? Do you want me to talk about my weekend? I had a lot of adventures.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Okay. I was in three cities, four airports in less than 52 hours.
Nice.
I slept maybe 8 hours, 9 hours maybe, in shifts in that time period. Made out with three different broads.
Whoa, you normally don't mention this.
Did you close any deals there, buddy?
No, in Phoenix, the second night, Scottsdale, I had this one grab my hand right up on the stage. Now, I told the guys, because I made out with two broads in Chicago the night before, I go, I'm going for the hat trick tonight. And I'm going to try and go for the golden goal as well and really finish it off. Because the other thing is, Chicago, we were leaving at 5 in the morning. Let's just reset it. I leave at LaGuardia around 2:15. It's me, JD from the Stern Show, Julie from the Stern Show, and Ronnie the limo driver, obviously from the Stern Show, for the Ronnie Mum Black Party. I sit with Ronnie all three flights. He is the biggest curmudgeon, wonderful curmudgeon you'll ever meet. He's a great guy, but he is very mean in a kind way. It's like, oh my God, I took a nap for 30 minutes on the plane. Who cares? He's dropping F-bombs on the plane if there's any kind of delays in front of everyone. If there's an old woman who's crippled in front of him, he'll be like, get that bee out of the way. Like, it's just it's unbelievable. But you have to love him. And he's like a typical single older uncle where he's well-groomed and he smells like three different kinds of colognes. It's very, it's like, is that Aquavelva plus Old Spice plus something that's fashionable? Wow, Ronnie. It's great. He's terrific. We're in Chicago maybe 40 minutes. We're totally stuck in traffic because there was a crash. There was a car accident that also screwed up the L. So we can't even take the L train to our gig in Wrigleyville. So it's big chaos. We were going to take a cab. It's going to be an arm and a leg. But guess what happened? There's a super fan who's friends with Shuley at the hotel. He just happens to be by there, and he gives us a lift. Here's the catch. It's a cargo van. So we get into the cargo van. Me, JD, and Shuley are sitting on dirt nonsense. Ronnie's sitting shotgun. Cargo van. We're about an hour from the venue.
The kind of cargo van with no seating in the back.
Yes, none at all. I mean, there's pictures on Twitter that it looks like JD has been kidnapped. One second. Okay. What's up, my brother? I'll just do a radio segment right now. I'm telling my story in Chicago. How are you, okay? You gushed on right. I almost said that JD got in trouble on the radio. All right, baby. Let me back here, boys. I hope you appreciate this. I'm a man on the street. So we get there. There's a line outside, like people pounding to get in at the Cubby Bear. It's insane. We go on. The place is packed like a whorehouse on Nickelman. It's exciting. The first act after JD and Ronnie is Speech Impediment Man. If you're not familiar with him, you might not have to, but it's okay. He wears a Superman suit and he has a speech impediment and tells jokes. And he can't call Shuley for the speech impediment. He's like, hey, Shuley. It's hilarious. Shuley.
So Ronnie, yeah. The limo driver in charge of, you're talking about the guy that's in charge of the whole tour.
He's not in charge of it, but it's basically his show and Shuley closes. But JD comes out and then brings out Ronnie and they do some bits and Ronnie brings on Hot Chick. And we found out on Twitter that Friday was National Cleavage Day. Oh, I forgot to say this. I had to pee really bad. Big shock. I have a horrible bladder. Like, I have a little girl's bladder. And so I had to pee. And so eventually, Bob, who's driving the cargo van, pulls over at a gas station. Well, it's in the middle of Chicago proper. They don't have a bathroom. So they end up blocking me in front of the trash can. And I'm having to pee there, but I'm having performance anxiety because my penis now is out in public in Chicago. And I'm 2 inches from Ronnie, the limo driver. I can't pee. That's disgusting. And so I get some of it out, jump back in. Luckily, we only had 10 more minutes to get there. Had to pee right when we got there again. It was crazy. So we do the show. Place is packed. There's seating. It's incredibly dark. I'm like, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? I go up there. I do a minute where I can't see. I go, turn the lights on. Boom. People stand in the back. I start ripping up. I see a guy in the front that looks like Blue from Old School. Boom. I say, what's up, Blue? You're my boy, Blue. Boom. Then I make a reference to Eddie Belfour, the former Blackhawks goalie. Boom. Now, anytime I take a pause, I'm getting heckled. I'm getting, no, Shirley, because people don't know who I am. That's the thing. We've been doing good on these shows, but people don't know who I am in the Stern world. They're just learning about me. So any pause, so I had to really have my heckler hands on, and I was just smacking them in the face. It's very good because I got paid to really be me, which is nice. I get to really say hateful stuff and get paid for it, which is very kind. I win them over, and then at the end I do my big close of the movie, and I ragged on the hecklers in the back that I can't see in the last line, and I exploded. I went into a real Ric Flair thing. I'm like, I'm the man. Without the mic, I'm the man for like a minute and a half. I'm just running around the stage doing that, pounding my chest. That's why I slammed the mic down. I put it down. And then I walked out, popped the room, standing up. But I still don't feel good about myself. I feel like a Christian being thrown to the lion. That's really what it feels like. So I end up taking walks around, watching the show, and everyone's coming up to me going crazy. And it's just crazy. You get like six specific guys throughout the whole night trying to buy you shots. And I realize, I'm like, these are probably the dudes who heckled me.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like doing a show on. That's like doing a show for Soul Joel Productions in Pennsylvania.
It's insane. And so they do that. And so I make out with one girl who's kind of a mess. I don't even know her name. It's okay. We get it out of the way. She's got curly hair. She's from Wisconsin. God bless her. Luckily, her friends drag her away from me. Cool. Good enough. Upstairs, we got a couple bugs that are showing their breath. But they're all like 250. No disrespect to these broads, but they're messy, a lot of them. Eventually, I'm walking down the steps to the bathroom and where the merch table is, and the most beautiful girl in there just walks up to me. She's just, oh, hey. And we just click. And it's just magical. We don't know what to say to each other, but there's this energy. And then I had nothing else to do. I just could tell. We were like both at one point, like, okay. And then she still walking by me, but I could tell she didn't want to move. And I didn't want to move, but we didn't know what to say to each other. It was like electric. So I went for the kiss. I was an automatic. And I was drinking Milwaukee's Best, which they put in our green room. So I was a little between that and a shot. And so I did it. She was like, wow, that's weird. She's like, so she starts getting weird after I kiss her. And I could tell she wants to kiss her, but I'm holding her back. And she's like, you know, this is weird because I'm not usually the hot chick in the place. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're beautiful. She looks like, if you guys are by a Google machine, one of my all-time favorite porn actresses, Dana Dyrmos. She looks just a carbon.
Pick up that name you just dropped.
Oh, I can pick it up and then do something with it later in your own privacy and your Google machine. So that's a masturbation joke. Thank you. That's right before you're tired, Scarpelli.
Yes.
So she's gorgeous. And then she's like, I keep trying to make some kisses. I kiss a little bit on the cheeks, all sexy-like. And then she's like, I'm wearing an American Psycho shirt. And she's like, you're probably a psychopath. I'm like, no, a real psychopath wouldn't wear a shirt of a movie about a psychopath. But nice try. I'm like, there's something going on. I asked if she has a boyfriend. No. I end up going to the merch table. We're sitting there. And she's telling me that she spends most of her time watching Netflix for softcore porn. It starts to describe me all these NC-17 movies on Netflix. And then I'm like, don't you like real porn? Like, I love real porn. First real porn I saw was all girls with my dad. I'm falling in love at this point.
I was about to say that.
Guys are coming up to buy me shots, and I told her the theory that I just told you, and she's like, yeah, you're right, because this is, you want to know what the guys look like who heckled you? This guy. She's ratting them out in front of them. She's like, yeah, I saw these dummies. That one, and that one, and that one. And they're all offering me shots and acting like they want to christen my baby. They're all acting like they're Luca Brasi at the wedding. It's horrible. And then all of a sudden, another gentleman came, and he had no interest in buying me a shot. The dude that was with her, and people were asking, is that your girl? And he's like, yeah. But she told me she was just with some dude she's known since she was a kid. So it could be that that ain't her dude, but they're hooking up a little, and he's got an H on for her since childhood.
He
but
paid for the dude, tickets.
I'm backing out. I don't need trouble. So I got out. But, I mean, she's on Twitter and Facebook. Girl's dope. Like, there's an energy to it, man. I'll tell you straight up. But she lives in another state. I mean, this happened with me and the Muslim from Connecticut. She stopped calling me. Can we stop calling each other last few days? It happens. You know, these long distance after gigs. But it makes a great story. I mean, this is like a Marlon Brando movie in 76. It's like Last Tango in Paris. The next day, the show's a little rougher. We're in a venue that's not good for comedy. I get through it. It's good. It's not my finest performance, and we still do good. I still rip people apart. After, we go next door to the bar. And let me just say, Scottsdale, Arizona, every woman has fake breasts. And I think some dudes do, too. I just think it's a requirement. I really think that Senator McCain passed that years ago because everyone's got them. Every girl's a thoroughbred. We're going to change the name of Scottsdale from Scottsdale to Thoroughbred City. That's how absolutely amazing the women are.
I hear there's a lot of good strip clubs there.
Yeah, I wish I could have went to strip club. I'm sure it is amazing. I'm sure the pigs there are loving. And so I'm with this Amazon bro. She's like 6 foot. This very pretty blonde girl. Huge breast, great tan. Native American from Oklahoma. Country girl. Hey, Al. She's now, after grabbing me, trying to play a little hard to get. I have to go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom. All the guys are coming up to you. Great job. Way to battle. Good job. All this. I'm waiting. I finally get to the stall. And some idiot is like, hey, I wish you would have been funnier. He looks like a Drew Carey, like a hunchback Drew Carey. like the JV team version of Drew Carey with a hunchback. So I'm like, whatever. I'm rolling it off. I'm relaxed now, having a couple drinks and chilling with the girl. We're victorious. We had a nice two solo shows in a row. And I'm peeing, and he's still doing it. So finally, he leaves the bathroom, and a couple other guys are like, dude, what's the matter with this guy? I don't know, whatever. I go back. 20 minutes later, he's saying his big goodbye. Now, his girl he's with is basically giving all the other guys, the road crew and that, and basically said she'd like to go to our hotel and make out with a girl in front of us. But she's stuck there with no good Drew Carey, with Bizarro Drew Carey. So they start leaving. Bizarro Drew Carey goes to one of the road managers. The road manager, and goes, great show, man. You guys did great. Which is very nice. He deserves to hear it. He does do a great job. He got me my blueberry drink and my energy drink, and he took care of all of our things. He's wonderful. But he didn't perform. He then walks behind me and just goes, ha, 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 ha. In front of a girl. I'm in front of this broad I'm working. My son had made out at this point yet. I'm Partego. I can't handle this. So I pop. He walks off, and I go, hey, Gilbert, you got something you want to say to me? And he comes back to me, what? And I just take my hand and I clam hand him in a handshake and lock him in and go, get home safe. Have a great night. And then I let go and he just, oh, okay. And it runs off. So I punked the bitch right there. I don't know, can I say bitch?
Yeah, right there. It's cool. But
I punked him right there. I haven't done that in a long time, baby, but I had to do it.
Would you and say... Yeah, go ahead. Go. No. There's more. I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. And then I finally convinced the girl to take a walk with me because she's one of the, I don't like the PDAs, which is ridiculous. And then we go, I get a little makeout, and guess what? It's a beautiful life. I find a $50 bill sitting right there. I pick it up. I think she thinks I'm going to split it with her. I'm like, you kissed me three times. You don't deserve half of this yet.
That's you need a handy for that.
but I'll buy you a seltzer. Let's go. What were you going to say, sir?
No, I was going to say, now one show was in Chicago, one show was in Phoenix. Yeah. Obviously, you said the difference in females from Phoenix because that's almost like a prerequisite. But from a crowd standpoint, whether they're guys or girls, would you say that they were any different or pretty much the same because they're a stern following?
They were meaner in Chicago, surprisingly, with the Midwest
really?
And all that. I mean, huge hecklers. Now, the security guards did a great job of handling the hecklers at the other venue. And there was more broads there. There really was. I would say Chicago looked more like a Aerosmith concert in 74, which means 90% dudes. And I would say that Tempe looked like an Aerosmith concert about 90, where it was probably about 70% dudes, but the girls there were foxes. Not quite Aerosmith in 2000, where it's 75% broads, and 30% of them are 16, which is just wrong. It's
that's
weird,
beautiful thing,
levels.
My friend.
Oh, take it easy, Dazed and Confused. And, and then, yeah, so that was the difference. I mean, they were still a little hostile. I mean, we had pro wrestlers in the Phoenix. It was just crazy. Good dudes, like, auctioning off their wives. He's like, that's my wife. You want to bang her? I'm like, no, I'd like to finish my set first, if that's okay.
How many people were in the crowds in both cities?
We pushed about 400 both shows.
Okay.
It's phenomenal, man.
I mean, they weren't there to see me, obviously, but, I mean, we won them over. We did good. I mean, sir, I mean, they take the piss out of you, though, like, in Scottsdale. I opened up for questions, like, four times in a row. Who are you again? I'll tell you who I am. And I just got nastier every time. I just smacked them right in the squash.
That's beautiful.
2 minutes left in the period.
And then last night I do a show where I'm closing for an improv group. It's a family group. I came up with them years ago out here. They were giving me stage time when no one else was. I would do 30, 40 minutes while they were paying, the families were paying checks after this improv group. And just, it made me such a better comic. And I get a call. They always, this group every year of kids from an island outside of Montreal. For the last year or two, I've not done it because I haven't been working with this group. And the adults of the group are like, where's Mad Dog? So they brought me in last night, and they're paying me really good money. I haven't done it in a while. Now, the kids have never seen me. It's a different group of, like, middle school, high school. Holy, I got heckled worse in the front row by junior delinquents than any Stern thing this weekend. Like, 17, and it's kids, and then there's a couple others who aren't with that group. It's like a grandma with her two, 11, an 11 and an 8-year-old from Chicago, brother and sister. So I can't really go crazy at all. I still yelled. I still put them in their place, and I still kind of, without being very blunt about it, called those kids heckling me accidents from their parents. It implied that their dads never play catch with them and don't love them and split on them.
Where was but this?
It was very tough. It was at Broadway Comedy Club. It was absolute. Because okay. I'm used to now, if you heckle me, I treat it like when I'm about to be jumped. You know, it's not like I almost get jumped off of it. I think I mentioned the time that the skinheads, I got circled by the skinheads. Luckily, we didn't come to blows, but I was going to go hit the biggest. You hit the biggest one. You hit him every time. And that's it. If I get a heckle, I win the war. I don't care about the battle. I want to win the war. I want to get you out of the game. I want you to look bad in front of everyone else when the crowd turns on you, or I want to embarrass, I want to just smack you so hard. I play the dumb son. That's what I do, baby. And so you can't really do that with kids because you're getting paid from someone else who's getting paid. This is how he makes his living, my boy Walt. And so now, just because they requested me, doesn't mean I come out there and go F your mother, kid. I mean, you can't do that. But I would love to, and if I ever saw those kids in the street, I would punk them out. I'm not going to fight them, but I would do the same thing I do to Dilbert. I'd do like a, come over here, tough guy. And one kid had his hair green and shaved on one side with long hair on the other, like a poor man's Cobain. The other kid looked like Damone's bastard child from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And he looks like he hasn't showered in months. They wouldn't shut up. I'm trying to set up something. They were racist. They were like, I'm really sick, blah, blah, blah. And the big defense is we have health care. I'm sorry. I guess that's a good case. But you know what? So does Norway. Who the hell wants to live there? Like, when you want to brag about and be an ignorant nationalist about your country, you brag about, like, football and hot broad and Jack Nicholson. That's what you brag about. And Hugh Hefner. You don't brag. You don't go, why is your country awesome? Because if you're sick, you go to the hospital. Guess what? You get sick, you go to the hospital too, and you give them a fake name. It's on you, Canada, with your braggart. You give them a fake name.
I do that.
We health care. Who cares? Oh, we even been hockey. They haven't won a cup since 91. What do you think about that? All those teams you got. Oh, my God, you're so much better. Get a job. Get punked by 17-year-olds. I want to pour coffee on their faces. I am so glad that you're right. It's great that you're in Canada, not America. Because if you were in my country, I would leave and go to Ecuador. Do you realize that? If you were the future of my country, I would go to Djibouti in Africa, which is a very poor, war-torn, drug-filled country. I would go. I'd rather move there. I bet the kids are at least more respectful. How are you, sir? You know what I'm saying? These punk Canadians got it too good.
So we learned Joel's a racist and Mad Dog hates Canadians today.
I didn't understand anything you said, Scott Kelly, but
Canadians.
I'm sure it was good.
I said Joel's a racist and you hate Canadians.
I hate racist Canadians who are 17 who look like out of work gas attendants from the Bergen Township in New Jersey. That's what I don't like. That's what they look like. So, we went way over. I think it's time to go. I really have had a wonderful time with you guys. I am centered because I meditated. I'm centered because we had a good segment. I did not get an erection during the segment.
I did.
You know, it's not that real. Well, I guess I'm wrapping up at the right time then, Scarpelli. And I hope you take care of that. And I hope you take it in front of Joel. It's a type of thing he needs to deal with on the air. Not in front of Oscar. Oscar don't need that. Oscar's been through enough. Oscar's a good dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the only non-minority on this show.
And I was waiting for that.
Yeah, that's it. Me and Oscar will be touring Lake George in a couple weeks. We'll be doing the non-minority tour the Comedy Point. It's me and Oscar.
Oh, man.
It's going to be similar to this. We're going to bring guys who aren't part of the show so they can get booed. Like, I get booed on the Stern Show. I don't get booed, but you know what I'm saying. I get heckled. But I win in the end, like Teen Wolf, because that's what I am. And I got a huge column. Good night, everybody.
Yo, guy, be good.
That was Dog in the Park with Mad Dog Manor. Follow him on Twitter at The Comedy Point. We're going to be right back with Julian McCullough, our featured guest of the week. Thanks to all our sponsors. We'll be right back with The Comedy Point with Soul Joel.
Welcome to Real Results. Hoboken Boot Camps, located at 720 Monroe Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. www.hobokenbootcamps.com. What can you accomplish in 35 minutes? Wash the dishes, do a load of laundry, answer some emails, or how about sculpt sexy muscles, blast ab fat, improve strength, and gain more energy than you ever imagined? That's what you can accomplish in 35 minutes. Contact Coach David of Hoboken Boot Camps at hobokenbootcamps.com. Soul Joel can do it, so can you.
Come on down to Lucas Chevrolet, located at 1622 Route 38 East in Lumberton, New Jersey. With great financing available and over 500 vehicles to choose from, including GM-certified used vehicles, visit Lucas Chevrolet today. A family-owned and operated business for over 65 years, Lucas Chevrolet is home of the 5-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Call General Manager Tom Kilroy at area code 609-267-0200. Again, that's 609-267-0200. Visit Lucas Chevrolet for all your car needs and tell them The Comedy Point sent you.
You're listening to The Comedy Point with Soul Joel, featuring co-host Christine Meehan, head writer Barack Azoon, the one and only Mad Dog Mannern, and yours truly, Soul Joel. So whether you're listening on WIFI 1460 AM in Burlington, New Jersey, BeMoreRadio.com, TheTalkSuperStation.com, Kansas City Online Radio, or on iTunes, we appreciate you tuning in. So check out our website at TheComedyPoint.com. You can email the show at TheComedyPoint@gmail.com. And of course, follow us on Twitter at The Comedy Point. So for talk radio with a comedic twist, please enjoy The Comedy Point.
We're back with The Comedy Point with Soul Joel, co-host Matt Scarpelli. You're listening to The Comedy Point on WIFI 1460 AM Florence. Live on our website, thecomedypoint.com. Follow us on Twitter, at The Comedy Point. And we want to welcome a dear friend of mine calling in from L.A. You can see him headlining where it all started for him in his comedy career this Thursday through Saturday at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. Go to the Stress Factory's website. We have everything posted on thecomedypoint.com. One show Thursday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Featuring will be Sean O'Connor and one of my good friends, Julian McCullough. Please welcome him to the show.
Hey, guys.
Yo, guy. What's going on? How you been?
All right.
How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. I was tuning in earlier. I heard a really good story about nachos.
Wait, you were listening to that?
I don't know if Joel's more amazed. You said the story was good, or you were listening.
I couldn't turn it off. It was such a good story about nachos.
Oh my God, Julian, this is embarrassing. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How did I
know that your radio show is all about food?
You've stumped Joel.
Thanks for having me.
No, I appreciate it, man. It's almost like I had this whole game plan, and then you stumped me by saying you've been listening for a little while. And it's like, oh my God, I'm going to bomb now. This is great. I look up to you,
by
buddy.
By the way, Sean O'Connor's not going to open for me this weekend.
So things are going well for me. I always seem to plug very well. So who's opening for you?
Oh, I don't know. I think actually they had like a March Madness contest this month, and I think the winners are opening.
Oh, cool, man. Wait, okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, but you and Sean are still friends, obviously.
Oh, yeah. He just couldn't do this one.
Oh, okay. Yo, it's awesome, man, that you're able to kind of come home around the holidays and plan your shows around. That's great.
Yeah. So what holiday is it?
Easter.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's a great time. Come on
home.
When is this again?
I've never heard Easter described as the holidays time of year either. I think of that as like, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year type time.
Right. Yeah, but Joel still loves his family, so he knows about all the holidays and stuff like that.
This is Julian McCullough. Follow him on Twitter at JulesMac. And it's amazing, Julian, like doing all the shows like MTV's Guy Code. You're on VH1 all the time, other MTV shows and TBS. But has it helped you with your Twitter following? I mean, because it's gone straight up ever since you moved to L.A.
Yeah, I would say Guy Code helps the most. Like, I probably have about 4,000 followers from that show.
Yeah, just because...
Which is funny because, you know, they're like... that show is geared at, like, 18-year-old dudes. And, you know, it's kind of got, like, an urban twist to it. So half of my Twitter following doesn't understand any of the jokes that I'm telling.
And you've been doing... they've been doing a March Madness tournament as well. And you made it into the finals.
When?
With Guy Code, the whole rounds we had to vote. And...
Oh, yeah, that thing. I don't even know what that thing was about. I was just like, I'm not going to lose for no reason. So I told everybody to vote. And I lost to Melanie Iglesias, who has about 95,000 Twitter followers because of her boobs.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So is LA treating you good?
Yeah, I like it out here. It's great. You know, you can. It's like living in the suburbs, but having a comedy career. It's really weird.
The other day when you tweeted, it kind of made me. I'm gonna get to my point in a second, but it's nice to see that you're. it's nice that you're doing well, buddy. You actually like tweeted. You're like entertainers. What credit cards have the best reward points? It was nice to see that you've made it, buddy. You've made it.
Yeah. I need a Delta Miles, so I'm doing pretty well.
No, it's awesome, man. Because
I'm still flying coach. but what was your game plan, Joel? I don't want to derail your game plan.
No, well, there's a couple of points. It was whenever like you told me a couple of summers ago that there's always like that one year where you're like, this is going to be the year that we all break out, and then you just need one more year after that. And then, you know, by telling me that, you also told me, like, not once in the first probably 6 years of doing this did you think about quitting every day.
No, yeah, not once did I not think about quitting, yeah.
Right. I've had trouble talking today, so thank you.
Yeah. Guy's some nachos.
No, but it's tough, man. I mean, it's a tough industry to think of, you know, day in and day out to have the grind. We're almost like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'd almost be better, you know, fulfilling my dream, but also eating. So I don't know which one I...
Right.
It's a tough choice.
I know. It's tough, but I mean, now I'm 32, so if this doesn't work out, I'm seriously like, it's McDonald's or it's... I can't like start something else now. But yeah, it is. It's amazing how long you... are poor, like you're, because by the time you're like 28, like your friends are real people. You know what I mean? They have like retirement stuff and like kids and shit like that, and you're still deciding between pizza and laundry. It's kind of really depressing. But the good thing I've noticed about this business is once you start to work a lot, it hardly ever goes backwards, unless you like are a huge star and there's a backlash. But in the beginning stages, like where we are, you know, like once you start making a living, you know, you just kind of make more of a living. It doesn't really people. I feel like there's a reward just for sticking around,
paying your dues. Instead, people that skyrocket too early, that's when you have a good chance of falling down. I agree with what you're saying, though. When my friend first told me about 401k, I thought it was a video game. I had no idea what the hell he was talking about.
And you probably still don't understand exactly what it is.
Pretty much.
But there are people that you know, burn really bright really fast, and they're gone now. And we could name them, but we probably shouldn't.
Right.
Just in case their star rises again at some point.
Okay, fine, I'll do it. Gordon Baker Bone. Mad Dog. Well, Dan Soder. These are guys that just they exploded at a young age and they just couldn't handle the fame.
No, you know what's so funny? I was just about to bring up Soder. Soder's following your footsteps now. He's the Guinness spokesman or whatever you want to call the title.
Yeah, he won March Madness at Caroline's, and then he's doing exactly what I did.
Yeah, but it's funny to see you guys respond and correspond on Twitter when you tweeted, "Welcome to Colorado. Here are your wraparound sunglasses and your Merrells." And he goes, "You forgot SUV."
I feel like you're. Do you have enough? How are you doing, Joel?
Wait, what do you mean, buddy?
Well, because I feel like you know you're on Twitter a lot, and I want to make sure that you're making friends.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can always make some more friends. I mean, you know.
Okay.
but I mean,
yeah, you have.
No, I was.
You're going, like one of the most popular guys I know in real life.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
You don't know a lot of people, do you?
No. Well, I just mean like a lot of people have like a way bigger web presence, or they're like on TV, or they're like whatever. But Joel actually has real people that know who he is. You know what I mean? Like, if I walk down the street, I don't have friends. I can't call anybody and like, hey, let's get lunch. Joel has like 100 people that would have lunch with him tomorrow, but nobody knows who the hell Joel is.
That's the trade-off.
Yeah. You know,
he's like he's like a mayor of a small town.
You know what's so funny about that is Saturday I was doing a show in Phoenixville. Not Phoenix, Phoenixville. I'm not bragging. And it's right near where my sister lives outside of Philadelphia. And all of a sudden, it's after the show. I'm upstairs. It's actually a nice setup for comedy. But I'm upstairs at the bar, and all of a sudden I hear, "Soul Joel." It was a dude that I graduated with, Jason Brown from Morristown. I haven't seen him since I graduated 14 years ago, but he's just still recognized me.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's you know, your fans are people that you generally went to school with, or you know, you sold them some pharmaceuticals a few years ago, you know, something like that.
I feel that those are a little condescending and backhanded, Julian, but it's great to have you on the show. How are you doing, Joel?
No, Joel, backhanded means that there was a positive part to it.
No, you know what? I still remember the time where I was driving you to a road gig, and you go, "I can't wait till I never have to talk to you guys because I'm so famous." And I was like, "Well, at least I know it's not today, Julian."
Yeah, I mean, if you told me back then that I'd still be talking to you in 2012, I'd fucking kill myself.
The FCC is going to kill me because we're on AM radio.
Okay.
But now it's
pay
cool.
For it.
He's got jokes. He's just slinging them right now. Like,
hashtag okay. Baller.
Hey, Julian, when we reformatted the show and we're doing a lot of stories about comics telling road stories on this show, do you have a good road story you'd like to share with us? And especially if you have a good one about Joel, too, would be quite fun.
Oh, let's see. Well, one about Joel. No, I don't think I
just
have
go
one
with a good
about,
one,
so,
man.
The worst road stories I have involving Joel were road gigs that he sent me on but didn't come.
I just experienced that myself recently. You know, if he's not coming, something's going to be wrong.
Oh, dude, if the show's not good enough for Joel to be on it, like, you're in for the worst night of your life. I literally thought I was in like a gold mine, like an old gold mine ghost town one time in Pennsylvania, where like nobody had teeth. The guy there was, when we pulled into the 7-Eleven, there was a dude on meth dancing shirtless in the parking lot, and the gate was right next door. And I was like, "This is going to be phenomenal." And it was it's always depressing when it's a fundraiser and like they clearly like are not raising the money they need, and it's just like really sad. But Joel's fundraisers usually make a lot of money. But every once in a while, he'll do one in like basically what is no longer a town. And like he literally got everybody to show up that lives there, but it's like 14 people. It's like, Joel, why'd you do a show here? And he's like, oh, I never even saw it. Like, I just did the whole thing on the phone.
And those shows have made you better.
And I will say they always have great nachos. Yeah. I guess one of the worst road stories is I had to do it was a gambling committee in Atlantic City or something like that, but they were like not important or something. I get to the thing. Was this one of your gigs, Joel?
It could have been.
You sent me to like a banquet in Atlantic City, and it was like a bunch of drunk 60-year-old dudes, and they were all in the war, and they just hated me.
No. This one actually doesn't sound familiar, although I'd like to take credit.
No, but these guys were like grizzled war vets that just were like smoking and drinking themselves to death, and they had no concept of stand-up comedy at all. And I show up, and, you know, like, every once in a while you get to a gig and you're like, these guys would love Bob Levy. You know what I mean? But, like, I do nothing like that. And it was – I literally – sometimes you do a show where you do 5 minutes and you haven't got a laugh and you don't have anything left to say and you have 40 minutes to go.
Yeah, you're like, I know the comic that's right for you, but he's not here.
Right. And I also don't even know what he would say. And I tried to talk to them, and they literally, I would point them out and describe the shirt they were wearing, and they just wouldn't talk to me. Like, I'd be like, sir, what's your name? And he'd just stare at me, like all of them.
Uncomfortable.
It was the weirdest 45 minutes I've ever had.
No, and I remember when we did the gig in our hometown. We were doing another benefit for raising money, and you're just like, every part of me wants to like unleash and tell them all the hostility that we have, because people that don't realize that where we're from, they think that we're rich, but we lived in the other part of town. You even had the joke where you said, "Yeah, I live in an apartment," and people are like, "We have those?"
Yeah. They didn't even know they had them. I was definitely the only car in Morristown High that had duct tape keeping the hood down. I pulled into school one morning, and the duct tape stopped working, and the hood flew up on my windshield like Ace Ventura, and I had to stick my head out the side to pull in. And then, like, I don't know if we can name names on this show, but, like, so-and-so would pull in like, a Mercedes SUV, like, right next to me, and I'd be like, yeah, no, I choose this car because of the character building.
It's a classic. It's a classic, this car.
Yeah, it's a classic.
That's what you're going with.
Well, going back to what you said about the men in Atlantic City, the old drunk fat men, that seems to be Joel's fan base from what we heard earlier today. One of his super fans chimed in today during the show and said that his fan base is fat, drunk guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a very lucrative fan base to have. They have money. They're not spending their money on gym memberships and, you know, women. So that's good.
Oh, my God, Julian. Thanks for calling in. We have a couple more. What's going on with you that we can talk about that's coming up for you?
Well, I'm still doing, you know, you can see me every Saturday on TBS, and then my CD's coming out in the next month.
Oh, cool.
The one that you taped
at Helium in December.
Yeah, and I did I'm doing like an 80s cover. Like the album cover is like a it's like I'm like Corey Haim or something on it, and it's called License to Chill.
Nice.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that's who you are, man. You wouldn't think it, but you are a total 80s soft rock ballad kind of guy.
I am. The people that know me personally are going to love the album cover, and the people that don't are going to be like, why did he do that? I actually based it on a Tiffany album.
Oh, really?
Which one?
Yeah, like I took, which took one? The same picture. Her first album, her I first studio it. Album.
No, but I actually like the picture of, and we're talking to Julian McCullough. Follow him on Twitter at Jules Mac. The picture on is very much like your personality. The picture on your Twitter, it's you just mowing the lawn, just like kind of, what's up? Like, you know, hey guys. Like, I love that picture,
yeah,
dude. I think
I'm mowing my dad's lawn, but I'm wearing Hollywood sunglasses. You know, I'm a complicated guy.
Healthy update from Julian. That's what you're up to.
And you got Paul and Oates on your. On your Twitter page too. You gotta love that.
Yeah, I do. I love Hall and Oates. And so yeah, I'm doing the Stress Factory coming up, and you know, it's not really announced yet, so I can't talk about the other thing, but I'll call you guys when it happens.
Cool, man. Well, we'd like you to call in right before your album comes out, and we'll promote it again.
Okay, cool.
Oh, by the way, I want to come see you this Saturday.
I'll be on the list.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
Cool, no problem.
All right, buddy, and I'll see you Saturday. And everybody check them out at Stress Factory this Thursday through Saturday. Julian, thanks again for calling in.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, bro.
All right, buddy.
All right, bye.
Julian McCullough. Log on to his website, julianmccullough.com. Check him out, the Stress Factory, Thursday through Saturday, April 5th through the 7th. It's where it all started. That's where he actually started MCing. He got his chops. Probably spent the first 6 years of his comedy career at the Stress Factory. So he's coming home.
I didn't know you guys were from the same town.
Yeah. He was a year ahead of me in high school.
Oh,
and
really?
A lot of when I first started booking shows, just like kind of Gemini and other guys looked out for you. Julian looked out for me. Introduced me to a lot of comedians. Kind of told me who to book, who to work out and stuff like that. So it meant a lot to me.
I didn't know you guys were that close. You were very sad when you moved away.
Yeah, yeah.
You are. I remember you being very sad. I was at when he closed the Staten Island Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
He headlined it, and I emceed that night. You're like, it's sad. He's leaving me.
Yeah.
I'm not even watching. I can just go with your dick.
Scarpelli's being serious. And no, it was. It was like, it was a moment where, I appreciate, it's like a mentor. I appreciated all the advice that he gave me. And helped me out with, but he looked at me. He's like, just like we were talking about. I got him through a few tough times where, I got him gigs, filled his date, but he helped me more than I helped him. I think
Well, I think in this business, we find a lot of people that we help each other with, and they, everyone helps each other. Well, not everybody. I'm saying you find a few. There's a handful of people in this business that look out for you as much as you look out for them.
But yeah,
and that is what you do find when you have that with some people. If I can understand how why you felt the way you felt when he moved on.
Yeah, and I will tell you this: we helped him actually. We helped him sell tickets the last time that we taped his Comedy Central Records album that he's talking about releasing.
Mm-hmm.
It was in. Helium in December, and he actually called me the next day after our show and thanked him because due to our show, people actually bought tickets.
Nice.
So hopefully we can do the same thing. I urge you, if you haven't seen him, Thursday through Saturday at the Stress Factory, April 5th through the 7th, and you can go check that out. It's JulianMcCullough.com. Follow him on Twitter at Jules, JULEZ Mac.
I got a show Thursday night. I'll be at the Brokerage in Belmore, Long Island. I'm going to be hosting the Joey Gay Show with Mark DeMeo and Sal the Sock Broker. So if anyone's out in Long Island, check it out. You can go to the website and buy tickets on there at thebrokeragecomedy.com. It should be a fun show Thursday night.
Welcome to Real Results.
Hope what was that?
Camps located at 720 Monroe Street.
I'm hearing something. Are we back? Are we on the air? Can you hear me?
We are now.
Okay, good. Were we off?
No, we weren't.
Okay, just something else was going on at the same time. Okay. Is Joel on the air?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Joel's typing. Got a caller.
Julian, how you doing, buddy?
Everything going with you guys?
Good, buddy. This is not Julian McCullough. This is Julian Cantrell.
The other Julian.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I thought I was getting bumped for another Julian. That's the first time that's ever happened.
No.
You've never been bumped before, or the first time you've been bumped by another Julian?
Another Julian.
Okay.
No, we don't come across too
many. But you get bumped by other people before.
Oh, all the time.
How you been? You had a great set the other night. It was a fun show. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I love every chance I get, man.
Your beer gave Joel's sister a headache and diarrhea.
I heard that. You know, tell your sister I'm terribly sorry, and I'll make it up.
No,
with,
Scarpelli. We actually weren't. It's not. We're not positive, but it could be.
your beer made her pregnant as well.
That's not funny. So Julian, man, you've been doing this now for a couple of months, and I think you had your best set on Saturday at PJ Ryan's.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm getting more comfortable, which I know is a big factor.
Oh, you seem very comfortable on stage. You had a good set. It was really good.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. And I got compliments from Joey, which, you know, was great as well. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed to, you know, I've met some of the right guys. And, Joel, you're one of them. I thank you for, you know, all the opportunities you've given me. And, you know, I think the biggest opportunity for it is to learn from you guys. And, you know, that's huge in my opinion.
No, absolutely, man. And we're going to be doing another fun show the last Saturday of the month with Joe DeRosa and Rich Schulte. So it's a homecoming for DeRosa. And I think it'll be a fun show.
Yeah, looking forward to it, man. I've always been a big fan of Joe DeRosa, and I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to work with him, man. I mean, the guy just worked at Carnegie Hall. I mean, that's unbelievable, you know. So, you know, to have a guy who's from my local area here, I'm sure we've worked a lot of the same rooms down here. It's great, man. It's a great opportunity.
I noticed me and you were actually sitting out front smoking before the show, and it was about 10 minutes before showtime, and there was only like three people in the showroom, and we were getting a little nervous, and then all of a sudden it looked like they started pulling in tables to fit extra people in there. It ended up turning out to be a real good turnout down there, and you've been on most of those shows over there. How was it compared to other shows? Or was this the best turnout you guys had?
I think it was, you know what, I think our debut show there with Mad Dog was probably close to about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had a little bit more lead time as far as being able to promote it and such. You know, with doing a show there every month, you know, the turnaround, it's like we just got done Saturday. And, you know, I'm sure Joel was hard at work as I am, already trying to promote the next show. So, mm-hmm. You know, with the first one, we had a little bit of lead time and it was able, you know, we were able to gather some people together. But, it was great. We had a great turnout. And, yeah, I was right there with you guys worrying for the first couple minutes there when, you know, there were only, like you said, three people in the room. Oh, by the way, Matt, my mom didn't know that I started smoking again. So thanks for that. I appreciate it.
No problem. Also, he's shooting heroin in his eyeball.
Oh, no, she knows about that.
Oh, okay, then that's good, then.
That's all right. But, no, we're thrilled with the turnouts there. PJ's is a great venue. Anybody who's in the area and you ever get a chance to come out to a show, please do. It's great. Their basement, I live 10 minutes away from that place, and I never even knew their basement existed until we started doing shows there. But it's really set up perfectly for comedy. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. And the staff, Twig, Renee, Tommy Ryan, those guys have, you know, bent over backwards to help us out, and they're really helping us put on a great show there every month. So we're excited.
All right, brother. Well, we thank you for calling in, man, and we look forward to seeing you next month, or later this month, I should say.
All right.
All right, brother.
Take it easy, man. Be good.
All right. You too. Thank you, guys. Tell Joey I said hello, and very happy birthday to Mike Boschetti. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him yet, but sounds like a great guy.
We'll bring him out soon enough.
Very good.
By the way, we want to give a shout out to a new listener that's tuning in. Just tweeted at me, Erin Magherty. She actually works for Preston and Steve in the Morning on 93.3 WMMR.
What up?
You can follow her on Twitter at Erin Magherity. She was a fan of Julian and tweeted at us for the show. So we appreciate everybody that listens to us.
That's
and follow
up.
Us on Twitter at The Comedy Point. Thanks to all our guests. Well, this is a great show.
Also follow us on YouTube, our YouTube channel, Comedy Point.
We just got an apology.
Say it again. I don't think
we just got an apology from Randall assistant. They got messed confused on the times. Mm-hmm. They thought it was they were supposed to call in West Coast time. So he'll be calling in again next week. Apologize for that. So thanks to Christian Spicer, Mike Boschetti, Birthday Boy, Mad Dog Manor. Thanks to Joey Gay for calling in. He didn't call in. Thanks to I'm just kidding. Thanks to Matt Scarpelli, my co-host, unsigned artist Anna Fairman, and everyone else, Julian Cantrell. Log on our website, thecomedypoint.com. Follow our YouTube channel. Subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at The Comedy Point. Tune in to Real Talk with Rame Long. Follow on this show, The Comedy Point. Thank you, guys. Good night.
Hasta la.